Cheesy.
Oh wait, that was there here.
Yeah. So anyway, we're an hour and 20 minutes late, but hey,
we're here.
Yeah. You know, it's time difference and broadcasting delay, and it's gotta go. It's bouncing off the moon, and
This is Matt picked up some extra hours today, or not extra hours, but traded with
somebody. Got a dude at work who had his granddaughter's birthday. And he's like, hey, dude, can you, like, spot me this Saturday? I was like, you messaged me. Here's the thought process. He messaged me directly, so I can't just ignore the fucking message like I did the first time when the man, when, like, because my manager sent the email out, hey, this guy needs to trade. I was like, well, I just kind of ignore that shit.
Right.
Because I don't want to fucking work Saturdays. Then he messaged me directly. I was like, well, fuck, it's Facebook. So he knew that I saw the fucking message, number one. And it was his granddaughter, so I was like, I gotta come up with a really good fucking excuse, or actually just do it. So I was like, okay, I'll do it. And I got some awesome cake out of the deal, so.
He said
thank you, and I got some bomb-ass cake.
I've done a lot more than trade shifts with somebody for cake.
Yeah, you know? Exactly, yeah.
What? Yeah, just let that.
Alright, what's the worst thing?
I didn't say worst, I said more.
I know you've done more than that for cake.
I had to take a load.
Giggity. From. Well, this isn't the show we're going to submit
from. No.
Ruined that.
We just skipped right into the juvenile stuff, didn't
no,
we?
I didn't intend for this to be that show. Okay. We'll talk about that a little further in the show. Let's see. I had to go to Indianapolis, and I'm trying to remember where I picked the load up from.
Just right off the table.
Yeah, I just ran it yesterday. Shit.
Wisconsin, Chicago, Texas.
Shut up.
I'm just naming states to give you hints.
Well, I didn't go to Texas. That's right. Where was it though? Man.
One of these.
What was it?
Was it north of here or south of here? Did it blur that much?
Yeah, it did.
Life of a truck driver. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah, well, I did. I ran.
Popping pills, eating pussy, right. Moving on.
As soon as you said this is not that show, right. It starts flowing.
Yeah, I did 10 different loads this week. So let's see, where was I? God damn. Anyway. Anyway, I had to go to Indianapolis.
Right.
You're doing that spoon in the mic breathing again.
Okay.
And I had to take my time getting there. Oh, I know why I don't remember the name of the town, because this little podunk-ass pissant town, that's why.
Wow.
It's down south. It's down near Quincy.
Okay, I gotcha.
Oh, no, it was at Fort Madison.
Okay.
Okay, duh. Anyway,
I don't blame you for not remembering that place.
Yeah, and I had to go over to Indianapolis,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't deliver until 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay,
Indianapolis time, so that helps a little bit.
Well, no, they actually do take into account daylight savings.
Yeah, they're an hour ahead of us.
Yeah,
and
there was a time that Indiana was not a state that actually observed daylight savings time. Mm-hmm. It wasn't until it actually became a federal law that they'd started to.
Right, but part of the state still doesn't.
Yeah. Well, that's because part of it's still in Central Time.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I'm on my way to Indianapolis, and originally it was, okay, you know, Fort Madison to Indianapolis, and then run 20 blocks down the street, grab another load, and come back to Cedar Rapids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the problem was is that I delivered the one at 1:30,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't pick up the other until 9:30.
Oh, shit, you got an eight-hour layover in fucking Indianapolis.
So I call up my dispatcher, and I say, is this place known for letting us load early? He goes, not really.
Fuck.
I said, well, can you see what you can do then?
Because don't you, if you rest, don't you, it doesn't have to be 10 hours specifically for your sleep and everything?
It has to be consecutive.
10 hours?
Yes.
Yeah, so that would just, you're just sitting there.
Yeah, and then you know, just flipping your schedule around, driving, and then driving all night, you know.
And then you'd have to drive 3 hours and then take your 10 hours. Yeah.
Right.
No, yeah. As soon as you said eight, I'm like, man, that's going to screw you over.
Right. So I said, see if you can do anything better. He says, all right. So he calls me back about an hour later. He says, okay, here's what we're going to do. You're going to deadhead from Indianapolis up to another podunk little town north of Indianapolis. Do a shuttle load from there up to Rensselaer, Indiana. Go from Rensselaer, Indiana down to Kentucky. Kentucky over to Hannibal and then Hannibal home. Or Hannibal to Galesburg and then Galesburg home. So all of that. All of Indianapolis to Cedar Rapids went, instead of going, whoop, it went.
Did like an upside down right. G.
Right. But the problem is, the thing that really bit me in the butt, you remember in the news about a month ago about the bridge north of Indianapolis that decided it wanted to sink 9 inches?
No, I don't remember hearing about that, but okay. Go on.
Anyway, Interstate 65 between Indianapolis and Chicago uh-huh. is closed.
Oh, shit.
To be fair, that sounds like a good reason to close it.
Yeah, no, I'm not disagreeing with
Bill, does that bridge seem to be lower than yesterday? Right.
But, well, that's exactly what happened. It sank something like 9 inches.
Wow.
You know, the creek that runs underneath it, I don't know, something happened to the bed, but one of the supports.
See, I'm a union worker, and I'm going to say this. That was probably a union job.
No, it was.
It's probably also like a 50-year-old, 60-year-old bridge on top
true.
Of it.
Yeah.
I'm guessing it was probably more substandard engineering because of how quickly they threw up a lot of these bridges
for
back
these
in the 50s for
yeah.
the, you know, for the Eisenhower interstate system. They didn't expect them to have to last 50 or 60 years. Oh, we'll replace these long before 50 or 60 years.
Just like the I-80 bridge, everybody's complaining about it. It's like, well, it did go 50 years without serious maintenance, overhaul, or replacement.
Yeah.
So,
and the N-74. N-74.
74, it was like, no, technically that's only like 30, 40 years.
Well, okay. No. The problem with the 74 bridge, no, it's been around a lot longer than 30
well,
or 40
I mean,
years.
They built the second one.
The second one, yeah.
Yeah.
No, the problem with the Interstate 74 bridge is that that was never intended to be an interstate bridge.
Okay.
It was built in the early 1900s, I think.
Yep.
As a two-lane bridge to get back and forth across the river.
From Bettendorf to...
Right. And then they came along and said, hey, let's make it into an interstate bridge. And everybody kind of went, So that's when, remember I was telling you last week, that's when they built that. That's why there's two bridges there.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how why they have it set up like that. Because they built the second bridge to...
Yeah.
But even then, going across it, you know, with, what, zero space on the side? I hate going over that bridge.
I fucking hate that bridge. I hate that bridge in my car.
But that is the only reason when there's construction there every summer. I'm probably one of the few people that doesn't bitch. I'm like, you know, that bridge is really goddamn old. And they haven't ever shut it down for a full summer.
Yeah.
And it's not like we don't have four other bridges in the area.
Oh, I don't bitch about it. I don't bitch
if it
about
got
it.
So bad, you can run down to the government bridge or
yeah.
or to the I call it the Brady Street Bridge, but the Centennial.
Yeah.
Or from here, you know, most of the time it's easier just to actually jump out and go around the long way.
Oh yeah, no, I've done the 280 jaunt.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's another freaky thing to notice. Living in this area my whole life is that the traffic on the Arsenal Bridge.
You're mouth breathing again, dude.
Yep, you are all up on that.
Probably just need to turn the mic down.
Or so just not like tilt right your head nose. Like this.
How about that? Does that
speaking?
Work?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think what it was,
what
is
get,
it was sitting, up like this, so like your nose was.
Okay. There we go.
That's exactly what it sounded like.
Okay.
Yeah, but the barge traffic has really slowed down since I've been alive. You know, when I was like 8, 9 years old, every time you go to that bridge, that thing's open,
well,
period.
Yeah, yeah, but part of it too, they've also expanded the lock so they can get through quicker. That's why it's like that, you know, because they can't really do anything with the bridge because the bridge is...
It's got to be a... the river traffic has to slow down a little bit too with that because it used... Literally, I remember it. We never went over the Arsenal Bridge if we could save the time.
Well, a lot of it depends on what time of day you go through there.
Right,
that's true.
Yeah. That is true. Early morning, you're screwed.
Yeah. Because they got the Arsenal traffic,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, Arsenal but traffic then, and the draw span.
Right, but then part of that, too,
which
remember...
Which Arsenal has fixed that problem because they put a bridge over the ass, out the ass end of Arsenal,
right.
Arsenal
Island. Yeah, because you can come in from the Rock Island side as well now, too. So
Well, Moline. It's always been Rock Island, but now they have the Moline Bridge that drops you off right off in front of the mark.
My dad originated the thanks Obama. Right. Only instead of Obama, it was Clinton. Like, literally the town, Clinton, Iowa. Because every time we went to that bridge and the drawstring was open, thanks, ADM and Clinton. And I'm like, well, he's not wrong.
He's not fucking wrong.
He's not wrong.
I used to run a lot of stuff out of there. I used to go in there every fucking day for fly ash out of their boilers.
Nice.
ADM?
Yeah. Till they built a new boiler and...
That great dead cow Clinton smell.
Muscatine's got the similar smell out of the grain processing plant down there. Yeah. Smells exactly the fucking same.
Well, yeah, but the problem is that at least Muscatine didn't build their fucking grain processing plant right in the middle of fucking town. Like
that's true.
Or when Purina starts a batch in West End. That's the other.
Well, if you lived in the West End I did, you just don't fucking notice it.
At least that's food. Granted, it's cat food and dog food, but at least it's food and it's supposed to be smelled.
It's not that bad.
It's just powerful, but it's not.
It emanates across the entire fucking West End of Davenport.
Yeah, it does.
Did you guys have a rule about not going down to the river when it was 90 degrees? We had a rule. It wasn't like anything dangerous or anything. It was just don't go down there if it's above 90 degrees. Why? River stank. Just that stanky, bacteria-laden, polluted water.
No, we didn't have that. Our big rule was don't go to the dump when it's over 90 degrees.
There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the river, no.
Well, yeah. But, like go to the dump and take an old couch or something like that and take it to the dump, you know. You go there over 90 degrees and that place just stinks to high heaven. But this is, of course, back before they do now, or like now, every day, once they're done dumping, they put dirt on top of it. They didn't do that back in the day. They just had a big, it used to be like a
pile.
Old quarry or something like that, and they just throw dirt in it or throw trash in it.
Yep.
So there'd just be piles of dirt. It looked like Idiocracy, where there was just piles of dirt running around and trucks just riding around on top of the piles trying to smash.
They start flinging that shit out into space. That's all we needed.
Did you guys see they had this completely biodegradable container for McDonald's?
What?
Completely.
No.
The fries, the soda, and the burger container. Like, imagine your drink, and then on top fits the burger, like in a biodegradable, like that paper container, like the stuff the drink carriers are made out of.
Right.
And then on top is a thing with the fries.
Nice.
They're separate containers, so nothing's running together. You're not flipping everything on top of each other. The whole thing stands like 4 inches taller than the average drink would. So like your medium drink that's like that tall, like there is the burger and fries on top.
I don't like it.
My first reaction is like it's going to slow down the line a lot, but otherwise I don't have a serious
McDonald's
complaint.
McDonald's is already slower than fuck anyway.
Exactly.
Right, yeah.
McDonald's has been bitching for like the last 3 years saying our sales are down in every store. It's because...
Look, two factors. Your food is shit.
No. That's not even the factor.
The wait time.
Exactly. We don't go to McDonald's for good food.
That's very true.
We go to McDonald's for fast food.
Right.
I want to walk in there. I want a dozen cheeseburgers to be under the fucking heat lamps.
You to scoop them out and put them in that fucking bag, and I walk out in 5 minutes.
I don't mind 10-minute old fries underneath it. You don't need to make a fresh. Yeah.
See, this was like 15 years ago. You go to Maid Rite for their 5 and a pound. And it was ready in 5 minutes. You go and try to get the exact same thing at McDonald's. You're in line for 15 minutes.
No, it was ready sooner than that because what Maid Rite had a big ass fucking pot
of meat.
And Maid Rite's actually fucking good.
And what they would do is they would take their bun, they would put 5 buns down, boom, 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 and then they would get
The fucking ice cream scooper.
Squirt. Yeah.
Yep.
Three pieces of onions, a pickle, yeah, a squirt of ketchup, a squirt of mustard. Maybe cheese. If you got
I mean, by the time you're done ordering, they got half that shit done.
Yeah.
You know? They're like, all right, he's going to order a Maid Right.
And so it wasn't even sitting in the hot wind or anything. It was just on a in a big fucking metal bin in the middle of the goddamn room.
But no, McDonald's is, no, we want to be known as good food. We don't want good food from you.
No, we go to Hardee's because it tastes better, but it's worse for you.
And it's expensive as fuck.
And it's expensive as fuck.
We want cheap fast food.
We came here, we wanted it cheap and fast. That's what you are.
Yeah.
You get three things. You get quality and fast, or you get cheap and fast, or you get
McDonald's, you
slower.
Went from a $1 hooker to a $3 hooker. Yeah. Now you're just inconvenient. Yeah. Where do I break this five?
No, better when you wait.
No.
No. Fuck off.
It should already be in the microwave as I'm ordering it.
hold on a second, Pete.
That's him.
I know it is. I just wanted to see if he noticed it.
It's your mic cable literally hitting your leg and then hitting the stand.
Oh, okay.
When you were...
Just flip that thing up.
He's just having
a bad... What's
wrong
with you?
He's... No, it's not the... Yeah, he's just having a bad day.
You want me to help you?
Maybe.
Okay.
I don't know.
Matt forgot how to radio. That's
Oh, okay, yeah, duh. I'm a retard.
Yeah, like I said, Matt forgot how to radio.
Been doing this for fucking 3 years.
It's longer than that.
Yeah,
there 4 years now.
Yeah. Well, shit, no, I was actually doing radio, internet radio, ever since like 2000.
I mean, seriously.
It's 2010.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, seriously.
Oh, yeah, with like an actual station and crap, four years.
Yeah, it's been about 4 years.
Four and a half.
Because we started...
Ish.
Well, we started Radio Foobar in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Johnny before that...
It was like 6 months. But I was actually pissing around being a retard a little bit before that.
I know. But like I said, seriously...
Trying to get his shit noticed on 4chan.
Yeah, I was an idiot. I was a moron.
That was the luckiest browse I ever came across.
Oh, so you didn't know him before...
No. We worked at AT&T.
We'd known each other for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then he decided he was going to do internet radio. And we weren't in the same apartment or anything, but we both went to the same website, this image board. And just one day I'm browsing through, and I had known that he'd named his show the 4 Hours of Power or whatever. And I see, hey, guys, check out this radio, this internet radio show. It's pretty cool. And I'm like, no! Because this site is full of
internet trolls.
Full of internet trolls and people that'll dox and hack and DDoS you into oblivion just because they can.
Yep.
And that's where he chose to advertise. And I'm like, take that crap down, you moron. And he's like, why? And I'm like, do you really want to, you want to paint a target on yourself? Good point. Yeah. Like, you could have advertised anywhere else.
Yeah.
But, anyway, I guess the news, if you want to call it that.
I got one.
Go ahead. Well, actually, let's talk about the reason why being at the truck stop at 5:40 to pick me up and starting the show at 6 didn't happen.
Oh, yeah. Because, okay. So my last fucking call of the night, right? I got a guy who leads off the call with saying, hey, I own my own business and it's a corporation. I was like, okay.
Did he call you a lightweight? Because then we know who it is.
Well, guess what? I owned my own business. And anyway.
Right. I wasn't even going to go into that. So he started off with that. And I was like, okay, so this is already going
to
be a
fucking...
He was
trying to get a deal.
Yeah. He tried to do the whole, like, big man, I'm a fucking corporate dude, you can't fuck with me type of shit. Here's the reality of what he was calling in for.
When does his album drop?
I don't fucking know. Fuck this guy, by the way. This guy called in 2 days ago, like on the 27th or something like that. And he said he was having issues with his FaceTime. He wasn't able to make a FaceTime call because he had one bar of service for 45 minutes. I'm going to let you take a guess how much he was wanting to have.
All five bars.
No. I'm talking about
he wanted his whole month. What was the amount of adjustment?
His whole month.
Close. That's real fucking close.
2 months.
No, it was two-thirds of one. It was $200 fucking dollars for 45 fucking minutes.
Wait a minute. He wanted an adjustment because he only had one bar.
One bar service and couldn't use FaceTime.
Did he try...
For 45 minutes.
What refused... All the two people that he spoke to beforehand, before he got to me, refused to do any troubleshooting. Said no, I want $200.
Always refuse troubleshooting at that point. It's better just throw the money at him and shut him up, or tell him to cancel.
My question is: did you try walking into maybe like 4 feet this way?
I agree with that. So. I because he said he was a weapons designer.
For
the federal government.
I graduated top of my class, Marines Weapons Special Corps. I'm a sniper with over 9,000 confirmed kills.
Yeah. and when he said this, I was like, I've got you now. Was the thought process.
I'm surprised you didn't call me and say, hey, help me call bullshit on this guy.
No, I don't call him on his bullshit. Right. I actually,
you tell me what he said, and I'll call bullshit then.
Yeah. I let that go because I'm like, that's probably not fucking true. I don't give a shit because I looked
even at, if it's not true, even if it's true, how is it relevant?
Right. Exactly. That was also the thought process that went through my brain. I looked at him, and I was like...
Because you know those government officials are huge on FaceTime.
Right.
There's no way that could be hacked or recorded or...
He said he lost a lot of money because he wasn't able to go through FaceTime. I was like, well, that's... Again, that's also going through my brain. But this is shit that I can never say to anybody else.
Is this guy local?
No. Hell okay. No. He's in Hawaii.
Oh, even better.
I just pictured that fat guy that sings the Over the Rainbow song.
Yeah.
Mahalo, brother. I'm a weapons developer.
Now, you know that used to be kind of my thing.
Oh, I know.
I can call bullshit already because I don't know of any government weapons contractors in Hawaii.
Now you see why this is going to take a fucking minute to explain this shit.
We need a test out there. Special Forces surfboards.
Oh, I know this guy was fucking...
It's the SOCOM boogie board, man.
I know this guy was just fucking lying through his goddamn teeth, but I can't actually call him
more than likely, stupid bullshit. Okay, more than likely, he probably builds one part of one weapon.
Probably.
Just see a bunch of spec op guys out there windsurfing. Yeah. Woo, this is great. Need to buy... How much are these? 30 million each. Woo!
So after I established the fact that he was refusing to go through troubleshooting and try to fix the problem... I asked him, I was like, so as a weapons manufacturer for the federal government, what would happen if the federal government said to you, hey, we want half our money back because there was a problem with this, whatever. And you did the research and you said, hey, there was nothing that I can find the problem. What would you do? He's like, I would call a lawyer and have him sue the shit out of the federal government. I was like... I was thinking this is, again, I didn't say this. I was thinking, exactly.
Yeah. That's when you give him 5 seconds to think of just no words. Just.
Yep. Exactly.
Rewind that, sir.
So we go back and forth for a minute, and I tell him, I was like, in what realm of possible, with you being a fellow business worker, a fellow businessman as myself... I kind of trump myself up a little bit on the phone. I'm a bit of a douchebag.
You didn't call him a lightweight, though, so you didn't trump yourself. Come on.
No, what I would have said is, like, look, if the federal government called you and said, hey, we're having a problem with your product, can you walk us through troubleshooting?
Right. Exactly. Like, any reasonable
Well, what's
fucking...
the problem? You know what? We don't care. Just give us half our money back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the problem? Not going to tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe we could fix it. Nope, don't care. Half the money. We still want to keep the product, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what he was demanding. And I looked at him, and I was like, in what reasonable business sense does that make? If you understand where we're coming from, you want two-thirds of your bill back, and you're not even willing to try to fix the problem. We're not going to do that. I'll give you $25.
I wouldn't even give them that.
You can credit them a week.
I have to.
They actually encourage you to. If they say they missed a really super important business call and they want, like, financial restitution.
Yeah.
If you don't offer some, if they keep going and demand something financial, you do have to offer something financial.
There's no actual error we can't really do that. We can't justify that. Well, that's bullshit. I'm going to cancel my service. I can give you $25.
What did the meters say?
There was usage. So it took me 30 fucking minutes to get through. And eventually, he's like, he just got pissed off about
this. Was the thermometer full or just no mercury whatsoever?
It was no mercury whatsoever.
I missed a very important jack-off session because I couldn't get anyway.
Yeah. I went 45 minutes without access to porn. This is a travesty.
I'm sure that call has been made.
Yeah. Well, I actually took that call one time. There was another dude who said, hey.
Let's finish up with this dude first.
Oh, but yeah. So we go back and forth.
Finish him off first and move on to the next one.
For 30 minutes when I'm trying, like, after I tell him I'm going to be 20, like, he fucking freaks the fuck out. Just screams at me, cusses at me, and I'm just got the phone on mute. And I'm like, just fuck this guy.
That's when you just go.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Yep.
That's when you grab your phone and go, hey, dude,
I can't have my phone on the floor. Yeah, so when you go. I actually.
No, you just doodle on a piece of paper. Yep.
No,
just let it go.
No, that's when he grabs the phone and texts me, hey, dude, I got an asshole on the line. I'm going to be a few minutes
late. Yeah. Yeah. So I let that guy go for a minute, and then he's like, well, I guess I'll just take the $25 and call it a day. And he hung up on me.
Well, you didn't stay while I completed the changes, so I don't have to make any of it.
No, I actually did that. I actually completed the credit, and I was like, I'll be nice on that point.
No, that's when you pull the Pete Johnson, and you notate you offered, and he accepted, but didn't stay on long enough to complete the transaction.
Yeah, he didn't stay on long enough to confirm that the transaction had
back in my day at that location, you couldn't be in that person's account without them on the line unless you were notating or researching.
That's actually back to the way it is now.
Yeah, so as soon as he's off the line, you technically can't give him the credit.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I would have just notated, offered it, accepted, didn't stay on long enough in line to complete it, offer the same thing to the guest if he comes back in.
Yep.
Oh, guess what? My adjustments are low this month. Go figure.
That guy was a fuckwad.
Yeah.
General fuckwad.
I'm wondering how we're going to even attempt to do this show without him cussing.
I can do it. Dude,
works at a place where he's supposed to get pissed off and not curse at them.
Yeah,
he'll actually get instantly fired. But
not for 3 hours straight.
Just consider it a job interview.
Yeah.
And he's not directing the conversation. He's reading prompts off of a screen.
No. No, that's out of my brain.
This is actually one of the places that doesn't have those scripts. They have suggested dialogue or, like, points that you need to hit, but they don't actually. It's an outline more than it is a written speech.
Yeah.
Then I'd be answering the phone, big fucking Mahamaya cell phone.
Big Kahuna cell phone.
Yeah. There you go.
Which you can tell. You're like, you know, sometimes you call cell phone provider and or
every
cable network. And one person that you call one time is like, okay, sir, so what we are going to do is we are going to do an adjustment to your account. This will take 2 weeks. And then the other guy's like, all right, so we'll do the adjustment to the account. Should show up in about 2 weeks on the billing statement, but then that needs to print. So don't freak out if you get a different one. Like the guy that improvised.
Yeah.
Man, some of you guys are just getting. No, some people are better at improvising. They're both saying the same exact thing.
I'm guessing that probably directly correlates to how long they've been there.
Yeah, it depends. We are trained to do that from the onset. It's who picks it up faster.
Yeah.
Well, what I mean is, when you're just starting to do it.
Yeah, you're kind of nervous
about what you're doing. I'm going to stick to what it's showing me here. And you get more comfortable with the job.
You start to open up a little bit. Like, for example.
Once you get an idea of what you can and can't say and can and can't do. Yeah, and that kind of thing.
Exactly. I always comment on the fact that I get Asian names and it's like, they always spell them out to me. Like, whenever they spell them out, I always make sure I hit them. I was like, I'm not some stupid American.
Just call them all Tojo.
No. I actually say this. I'm like, I'm not some stupid American. I say it a little bit differently than that because that sounds like a me. It's like, I appreciate the fact you spell it to me. I actually want to know how to pronounce your name. That way, I can make sure I educate myself so I don't feel like.
Do you only handle U.S. calls, or do you have to handle international calls?
We don't have international service except, I can't say that.
Well, what I was saying is that the name isn't coming over like in chicken scratch, and then you got
no, 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 no.
Okay.
Yeah, Ivan cuts his nuts off. And you're like, Pete made that up. Nope, that was his name. That's how he pronounced it, and I laughed on the phone. And he had a Russian accent and everything. Like, full on. The name came up, and I said, all right, Mr. Kutsunov. And he goes, he's cuts his nose off. Are you laughing at me? No, sir. Somebody just bumped my chair. That's all I can think of, because it's like, dude, that name in English means something completely different. Cuts his nuts off. Well, and your first name's Ivan. John cuts his nuts off. What am I supposed to do with this?
It's like when an English person, when you wake up an English person in the morning, their expression for being woke up is getting knocked up.
Yep.
Yep.
Means so, completely different.
Exactly.
Completely
so
different.
So an English person, if you're talking to them, they haven't been over here that long, and says, yeah, when so-and-so knocked me up this morning, you kind of go,
hold on a second.
Hey, what?
Hold on a second.
We need to have a slang off with Davian again.
Yeah.
Because the other one is Fanny.
Yeah, to hear it means ass.
Yeah.
In the UK, it's vagina.
Oh, nice.
It means vagina.
Nice.
Yeah. Fag means something completely
so
different.
So you say like, here. Oh, he fell down on his fanny, and they just crack up laughing because they think he pulled off this great burn like he fell on his vagina is what they heard.
Right. Yeah, the one that. Thing you don't want to say here that you can say there is I'm going to go outside and smoke a fag.
I'm going to go blow a fag, yeah.
Burn a fag.
Yeah.
Completely different burn.
Too, yeah. I think they arrest you for that.
Right, yeah.
Or bumming a fag.
Yeah. Yeah.
Short story, we were camping.
Or thumbing a fag.
Short story, we were camping, and my brother-in-law, Johnny, walks up, and he had like these, he cut down an applewood tree in the backyard. And he comes up, and we were just getting the cooking fire going, and he goes, hey, Dan, I brought a bunch of faggots for you. I was 10. I'd never heard that expression
bundle
before.
Bundle of sticks tied with string.
We're an uptight Christian family and network, so he just comes up and says, I brought faggots for it. I was just like... And everybody laughed, and I'm like, oh, he did kind of swear, but not... All right, I got the rule now. I got it. Brought some applewood faggots for you.
The first time I was ever introduced to that usage of the word faggot was actually, I think it was in Lord of the Rings, like the Fellowship of the Ring in the book, because they were talking about like Tom Bombadil. Bombadil. And he said, yeah, I gotta go out and get some faggots out of my, and I was like, what the hell? I actually had to go get the dictionary. Look,
gotta
like,
get
oh.
some faggots for dinner.
Yeah, I'd never heard that either, so.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Fanny and fags.
I had a buddy of mine on Facebook ask, what did he say? He wanted to know why.
42.
Yeah.
That's.
He wanted to know why, like, you know, you spent, like, in a relationship, you spend years and years loving somebody, and then when the relationship ends, it automatically turns to hate and spite.
Man, we're all still on beer one, Frank.
I know.
So he's trying to get rational answers from us. Right.
Well, no. This happened a couple hours ago.
Okay.
And, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's just people being people and it's just how it is. And I said, no. Here's what I said. And it looks like everybody is liking it so far because I'm getting a whole.
Don't you like that?
Anyway.
When you say something and it's like, I didn't even think I was being that witty. And apparently it's just fucking mind-blowing.
I said, it's the natural balancing of the equation that we as humans desire.
Yeah.
You know, when something bad happens to someone we don't know, we really don't care. Or we rarely care.
Yeah.
Something bad happens to a friend, we feel it. Something bad happens to a loved one, it punches us in the gut. You know, same thing in relationships. Barely knew it equals, oh well.
Yeah, fuck it. Whatever.
You know, a friend, well, that sucks. You know, a best friend equals she's a dick. Yeah. A spouse, you know, it's all her fault and she must pay for hurting me.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, no, that's a I actually have a different concept on that, which is to have a strong feeling and have it associated with a good feeling, like a positive feeling, like love and shit like that. To have the hurt and pain associated with that person, you have to love something first to be able to hate it.
Well, that's what I mean. There's a natural balancing.
Yeah, never love Justin Bieber.
Well, you see, right. While you may have never loved Justin Bieber, there's a whole bunch of people that do.
That's true.
So you hating him is a natural balance
to the equation. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know, not all the time does the equation balance, but most of the time it does.
Yeah.
Nowadays, we take that to the extreme.
Very much so. He's getting a beer.
Oh, get him. I got 10 of them right here.
He's got his own. He's got Dos Equis.
Oh, you got that.
No, Dos Equis, that's actually good beer. No, that's good beer.
There's not enough X's on the bottle.
There's
supposed to be four.
4X beer?
Yeah.
Did you actually figure that out? Is it 4X
it's
beer?
That's what it's called.
No, I'm just 4X. Trying to run a tally here, and on my bottle there's two. And on Frank's, there's none.
That's because I can't get the proper beer here. I don't think they sell it here.
And your beer is named after a dude, and my name's after a chick. I'd rather have this one in my mouth.
Yeah, but see, I'm drinking from a hole. You're drinking from a phallus.
There's a hole in that one, too. I know you're thinking the exact. It's like there's a fucking hole in this beer.
His beer is a lot more phallically shaped. Yeah, than mine
well,
is.
I'll agree with that.
I went for the big one though. You went for the white stubby
one. I just realized what I was about to say.
If I'm going to take one, I'd rather
mind.
It be short
I will
and
shut
stubby.
My mouth. I just realized about what I was about to say. I will shut my fucking mouth. That's
there we go. Matter of fact, their website is xxxx.com.
Don't put in only three because that's an entirely different website.
It's xxxx.com.au.
I wonder if they can ship it over here. Can they ship?
That's what I'm looking for.
Because I want to see how bad this beer tastes. Was it a decent beer when you had it?
It got me drunk.
Oh, well, okay. Well, PBR will do that, too.
So it's the Thunderbird wine of Australia.
Pretty much, yeah. We support the responsible consumption of and promotion of alcohol.
Yeah, so do I.
Why did it... What?
So what was the origin of that guy's question? I didn't understand it. Like, did somebody break up with him? That guy you were talking about.
No, he's one of those that's got two vindictive ex-wives.
So he's got ex-wives.
Vindictive.
He's got ex-wives.
No, more so than most. Especially because one of them he's got a little girl with.
Oh. I fucking hate
that. And she's actually a little bit more psycho than most.
Fair enough.
Matter of fact, he posts... Let's see, it's actually called, it's a brand of Austin, Castlemaine Perkins. Now division of the Japanese company, oh man. They got a pale lager, a mid-strength lager, and a summer bright lager. Let's see, this
pale lager sounds really fucking close to IPA. Wait, no.
It shouldn't be.
Okay.
If it is, it shouldn't be. Lagers are supposed to be crisp.
Okay.
Not sweet. It's not even citrus. That's the wrong word. Crisp.
I gotcha.
You're supposed to get the hops and or wheat. Mm-hmm. And okay. That's what you get.
I gotcha.
Matter of fact, Yahoo Answers. Where can I buy 4X beer?
There you go. Like a blonde lager, yellow lager, and pale lager and stuff like that. It's supposed to be like Wonder Bread with alcohol in it in a bottle.
Okay. I got you.
White bread.
I got you.
It says live in Australia or have a friend in Australia that can mail it to you.
Fuck. fuck you.
They don't export it, it looks like.
God. Yeah, I ran into this problem with scotch. The export fees, you might as well just buy it in the U.S.
Well, that's what I mean. You can't get it here.
Yeah.
You know.
Because even if you have a friend that lives in Scotland, like, of course, they get some of the better scotches really super cheap compared to what we can get them for. By the time they're done exporting it, you probably actually could have bought it cheaper in the U.S. through a distributor. Mm-hmm. Like, well, okay. Yeah. Yet we sell our crap over there for nearly the same price. Jack Daniels is about the same in the UK and Australia and everything else.
Matter of fact, let's see. I know where. If this place doesn't have it,
Denny's Beverage Depot.
And on top of that,
there is this
Americans are greedy. Yeah, but we share.
Yeah.
See, but we have a one of my wife's best friends works there, so we get a
nice
20% discount.
I need to get her to get me some Not Your Father's root beer. That shit's really good.
She'll be like within two blocks of a Benny's for like the next week.
Okay.
So, let's see. Products. Beer. let's see. Type. What did we say it was? Lager?
Yeah.
That's just...
See, mid-strength lager sounds like it would be somewhere around Boston, Sam Adams Boston Lager.
I love Boston Lager. That shit's amazing.
The only 4X beer Benny's has is called Shipyard 4X IPA.
Ugh. Fuck that.
They're still doing those blind taste tests on Boston Adams. Or, yeah, Samuel Adams Boston Lager.
Really?
Yep. Still winning. They're tricking hipsters. It's the best thing.
Let's do a search by country here.
I love the Sam Adams commercial when they say, how big of a percentage does Sam Adams actually have of the U.S. beer market? And people are like 10%, 15%. And it's like, nope, less than 1%.
Yep, it's like 0.05. Because for all the restaurants and everything that sell it,
the only thing they got
90% of the U.S. that's full of rednecks that are drinking Bush Light.
Yeah.
They have Foster's.
Blech.
And something called Cooper's.
Yeah, don't tell an Aussie you fucking drink Foster's.
I don't know if I trust the Australians with a beer.
Foster's is like the... like the shit that they scrape out of the bottom of the barrel after they've poured their beer.
It's like if we sold them Natty Ice as a true American beer. I know. Yeah. It's pretty much terrible. Yeah.
Not even Natty Ice, like Keystone.
Like fucking Bush.
Keystone has its place. I'm going to defend
Keystone has its place when you want to get fuck off drunk for $5.
No, but what's the last beer that Americans want to drink? Natty Ice.
Yeah.
Like, can you think of another beer you'd rather drink more of?
I have never had.
I don't know. You got to
less of.
Well, you got to remember, I grew up in the generic aisle days.
Oh, at Aldi's, where
No. I mean, like when you go to like Jewel,
and you
would walk down the yellow aisle.
And then, same here.
Yeah, you know what I'm talking about.
When I was younger, I had some. They had a yellow beer.
They had a yellow can. All it said was beer.
Didn't they bring that back?
And I had a sip of that when I was younger, and I'm like, this is not the worst thing on the planet. It doesn't taste
horrible.
It's
different when you're a kid.
You know? No, I
my parents were the sippers. They gave me a sip of almost every beer that they brought home. Not literally every can, but you know what I mean.
Kid, taste test this.
I was the kid that at church dinners got a small glass of wine, right. That sort of kid, because I wasn't a bad kid.
Mom let me drink off of her margaritas.
Oh, so you're going to say your whole life up to this point is your mom's fault?
Oh, me?
Well, technically, yeah, it would be your parents' fault. They created you.
Yeah. Hi, nope. Sammy. Individual responsibility. Dale Milich, 2015.
Hi, Sammy. I'm surprised all of the kiddies didn't come down here going, oh, look, somebody's home that'll pet us.
Bullshit. I spend at least 3 hours a day on that couch because otherwise they just come in.
Do they?
Yeah. Billy sat on my bed for six hours last night.
We were actually kind of wondering what the cats would do with both of us being gone for this long. Because the longest that she's been away from the cats since we've had them is when we went to Vegas for a week.
No, Billy's been coming in my room and sleeping on my bed, and so is Loki. And when both Sammy and Santo come in and start poking me, I go out and sit on the couch with them and play with them and pet them for a while.
Yeah. Well, that's good. Yeah, we were actually wondering about that because we're like, okay, if he stays in his room with the door shut all day.
No, nope.
Eventually, they're going to realize he's the only one there and start banging on the door or something.
No, I've been paying attention to him. Oh, they are not without affection.
Because yeah. What's funny is Loki, it's like he waits a day and a half. When I come home, he waits a day and a half.
He's pissed off at you.
Well, he waits a day. He'll let me pet him and all that kind of stuff, and he enjoys it. But it's like he knows I'm going to leave. Like last week,
mm-hmm.
You know, you were on your way to pick me up. I walk in the bedroom to change, and that's when he starts looking at me going, row, 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 pet me. I want, like, all the attention.
So, yeah, he's actually been coming when I call him because I'm like, where is he?
Oh, anyway, so the news.
Yeah.
No, sorry. Just wanted to say, in case Mary listens to this too, I have been taking very good care of these cats.
Yeah. She knows. They're not dead. That's the important thing.
They're not dead, and they're actually very content.
The one of the shows next month. I don't think it's going to be the one next week with the girls. Because then what we're going to do would make it seem like they're actually a normal, everyday part of the show.
Right.
Sign them up! I don't think this would pay that good if we did it. No, there's a radio station out there looking for morning hosts. Now, granted, it is in the middle of bumfuck nowhere. And we're not going to say where, but it would be epic.
Well, Stern started in bumfuck nowhere.
Well, no, that's fine. I don't have
I'm just saying.
I don't have a problem with doing it in bumfuck nowhere as long as the pay is relatively decent.
Right.
Livable is what, you know.
Right, yeah.
The difference is we're not going to have naked chicks in our office the first week we're doing it.
True. I know that. Down. I'm just saying.
Hang off your shirt.
Hey, what was the fat guy that Stern had on his show?
That comedian?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I heard...
He was a comedian.
But the problem is that we have to send in an audition.
Well, we got to be clean-ish.
And because it's for actual regular radio, we can't say fuck, shit, cock, tits.
Poop, pee-pee.
Yeah.
Bathroom, toilet.
I'll be honest
toilet
with
paper.
You.
You can get suggestive as fuck.
Shower scrubs.
I have heard... I've on Bob and Tom, like they like
Mexican restaurant.
That's what I mean. You can get suggestive as hell.
Yeah,
you just can't actually say specific words.
What was it? The words that Carlin was talking about.
Pretty much.
You know what? Yeah. If Bob and Tom get away with saying, "Is he a big elk hunter?" I think you can get away with a lot these days.
Yeah, like I said, you got to skirt those lines. Yeah. You know,
got to be inventive about it. And that's actually kind of the best part about that style of comedy, because it has to go over the airwaves. You have to get inventive, which means you actually have to use your fucking brain.
You mean like Spank the Monkey?
Yeah.
That took me 2 years.
Trying to decide what to call these words, man. I'm trying to decide what to call this whole thing. You know, what are these words that I'm talking about? They're just words that we've decided, sort of decided, not to use all the time. That's about the only thing you can really say about them for sure. That they're just some words, not many either, just a few, that we've decided, well, we won't use them all the time. Sometimes, well, hell yeah. Sometimes it's okay, but not all the time. And they're the only words that seem to have that restriction. I mean, there are a lot of words you can say whenever you want, you know. Pneumonia! Nobody gives you a lot of... Oh, I can't get in the hospital a great deal, but what the hell? There are words that you can say, no problem. Topography! No one has ever gone to jail for screaming topography. But there are some words that you can go to jail for. There are some words... That we just
I'm pretty sure some Catholics did.
All the time. Sometimes, okay, if you're running through the jungle chasing somebody that we're at war with, you can holler them. If you're shooting a criminal, it's okay. It's the all-American thing. Dirty fucking crook. But if you're with the bishop's wife at lunch, it's better not to ask for the goddamn lettuce. You know what I mean? It's just like we've decided there'd be some words we won't say all the time. And I was just trying to find out which words they were. For sure. All of them. I wanted a list.
Because nobody gives you a list. That's the problem. They don't give you a list. Wouldn't you think it'd be normal if they didn't want you to say something to tell you what it is? Nobody even tells you when you're a kid what the words are that you're supposed to avoid. You have
to find out after the fact.
Mommy, which ones they are.
Fuck.
Shit.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Fuck.
Oh, Ma, that's enough trial and error, huh? Please, Ma, give me a list, huh? All right, you're 6 years old now, and here's the list of words your dad and I don't ever want to hear you say. Oh, hey, thanks, Ma. Boy, that's going to save me an ass kicking or two. Yeah, you never know what's going to be on the list. Because it's always somebody else's list. You didn't make that up. Somebody told you that shit. They told you, better not say that. So you gotta, and you don't know what's going to be on their list. God, people's lists even change from day to day. Some people on Friday night got a list, you know, not about two or three words. Sunday morning, goddamn, they make 27 words. These are the same people 2 days later. Different list. So you got to kind of watch out what you're going to believe from them. The trouble is, I was trying to find out what these words might be. And I wanted to know the ones that you could never say on television. I mean the filthy words that are always filthy. There are a lot of these little two-way, double entendre words that have two meanings. Words that are okay part of the time. I call them like part-time filth. Some of these words, they're only 50% dirty. You have words like ass. Ass is hardly even a dirty word anymore, but it has a few meanings that you can't say on television. That's what I was talking about. What can you say on television? That's another one of those places where we can't use these words all the time. But some of them are all right some of the time. Ass is all right on television. You can say on television things like, well, you've made a perfect ass of yourself tonight. But you can't say, hey, let's go get some ass.
I've said it before on this show. There, you know, I remember when the first time I heard shit on regular TV was actually ER. It was the episode where one of the doctors died from brain cancer.
Oh, that would yeah.
And he fell out of the bed and said, "Shit!" And I was just like, "Yeah." Not because I've never said the word shit before. It's I'd never heard it on regular
TV.
Yeah,
you never hear that. You don't hear that
in prime fucking time. Yeah. You know? And then I'm like, okay, you can say shit on regular TV as long as you're not talking about actual shit.
Shit. Yeah.
You know, it's like he's talking about here. You can say ass on TV as long as you're not talking about an actual ass.
Mm-hmm.
As opposed to what you can say if you're talking about an animal ass. Like a donkey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. What?
The first time I heard shit on TV, I don't care if you distinguish between cable and network. I don't care. It was the South Park episode.
All right. No, I was thinking.
And then Mr. Garrison did his song, "Hey There, Shitty Shitty Fag Fag Shitty Shitty." And none of it was bleeped. And I just sat there. I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Well, that's the reason why South Park did the shitty walk. Bit.
Yeah. That's fantastic.
He ordered shitty beef. I gave him shitty shrimp. He'd say he ordered shitty chicken.
Yeah. Bitch. Bitch is another word like that. Same kind of word. It's the only dirty part of the time. Depends on what you mean by bitch. You might be the lady from the San Diego Zoo visiting one of the Tonight Shows, and you might just have a bunch of little canines with you there. One of them is a female. You say, there's the bitch, Johnny, and it's okay, fine. Just don't refer to the singer the same way. That's is that bitch going to do another number? Yes. Animals are fine on those two-way words. And that's it. That's what I was trying to find. The words that were always dirty, not just part of the time, but completely filthy. Well, in looking for these words, I kept finding new categories. We have so many ways of describing these dirty words. We have more ways to describe dirty words than we actually have dirty words. That seems a little strange to me. It seems to indicate that somebody was awfully interested in these words. They kept referring to them. They called them bad words, dirty, filthy, foul, vile, vulgar, coarse.
In poor taste, unseemly, street talk, gutter talk, locker room language, barracks talk, bawdy, naughty, saucy, raunchy, rude, crude,
this is where we got our lists from.
Indecent, profane, obscene, blue, off color.
Carlin was big on
risque,
lists.
Suggestive, cursing, cussing, swearing, and all I could think of were shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits.
There they are. That's all we need.
Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. That was my original list. I knew it wasn't complete, but it was a starter set, you know? Shit, piss, fuck, yes, WBAI is the one who played them. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Now, that was the original list. We've added a few words since then. We've added fart, turd, and twat.
Moist.
And I know there are some other words that many of you are wondering about, why they haven't been considered, why they haven't shown up on the list thus far. We're looking at them all very closely. Some of your favorites might make the list this year. Asshole, ball bag, hard on, piss hard, blue balls, taint, nookie, snatch, box, pussy, pecker, peckerhead, pecker tracks, jism, joint, doniker, dork, boomtang. Cornhole and dingleberry. Dingleberry, a very popular word.
Cornhole cannot go on the list for one specific reason. If you're from the Chicago area, cornhole is a game played by children.
Yeah. It's actually bags.
It's bags.
It's bags.
Well, they call it bags everywhere else.
It's
in Chicago, they call it cornhole.
Yeah. Someone called it cornhole. I was like, we're going to play cornhole. I was like, fuck no, we're not.
Yeah. Before my wife and I got married, the first time I went to Labor Day with her and her family, she comes over to me while the parade's going on, taps me on the shoulder and says, you want to play cornhole with my dad?
No.
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 No,
no,
I don't.
I don't.
I have nothing but respect for that. But I would insist on declining.
There shall be no buggery here.
I got a better one. This is one I learned in Wisconsin. This is a thing they do. I think I told you about it once.
Yeah.
Well, in that particular part of Wisconsin?
No, most of Wisconsin. And we can Urban Dictionary / Google it to prove it.
No, because I probably heard it.
Coon stomping. There we go. So he has it. And your first reaction is, are they riding around beating up black people?
No, that wasn't my initial thought. My initial thought was that they would have a pen full of raccoons and just walk in there and try to make wine out of them.
almost. It's a bunch of bored guys. One of them has some farmland and a pickup truck. And the kids score some beer because they're all minors. None of these kids are legally allowed to drink or buy the booze. They get some beers.
Unless you're in Wisconsin. I think you can. Wisconsin's kind of like Canada South when it comes to beer.
Yeah. With kids in bars, yeah. You can be 18 and drink in the bar as long as your physical parent is there.
Yeah.
Can't be your stepdad or anything like that. But anyway, yeah. So what they do is they get the beer, they go out, they literally drive slow all over the fucking property, the fields, the woods, everything, drinking beer. And every time they see a raccoon or a small animal, they all stop, run after it, and beat the crap out of it with sticks and kill it. They're regaling me with tales of this one kid that like picked up a raccoon and swung it and like bashed its brains against an oak tree. And I'm like,
I saw how opening day of deer season was up there.
I'm like, this is why you guys have a monopoly on fucking serial killers for a reason.
The day deer season opens might as well be a fucking federal holiday in Wisconsin.
Yep.
They literally shut the schools down.
For deer hunting.
They started doing it for duck hunting, too.
For opening day of deer season, they do not schedule school that day. Because they know half the kids, well, in the urban areas, they've gotten away from doing that. But in most of the rural...
Out like fucking Toma and shit.
Right. Most of the rural areas still do not schedule school for the first day of deer season.
Wow. It's an insane.
Because they know 80% of the students, male and female, by the way, will not be at school opening day of deer season.
Coon stomping, redneck tradition in Wisconsin.
It's like cow tipping here. But I have never.
We don't kill the cows.
We don't kill the cows.
It's fucking tipping
over. We don't
pick
the cows up and swing them into a tree to bash their brains out all over the place.
That's very true.
And to my way of thinking, dingleberry, a rather innocent-sounding word, dingleberry, sounds Christmassy to me, you know. Let's put one on the tree, Dad. So, the words, as I say, ship, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits, fart, turd, and twat. Now, motherfucker came off the list immediately, the first day, in fact. I had a call from an English language purist. Some guy had to talk, you know, he got on the phone. He tells me I have a duplicate on my list, I have a duplication. He says, motherfucker is a duplication of the word fuck, technically, because fuck is the root form, motherfucker being derivative, therefore it constitutes duplication. I said, hey, motherfucker, how did you get my phone number anyway?
Putting that English degree to work.
I said, look, man, it may be derivative, but you still can't say it. You still can't say motherfucker on TV, can you? He said, no, but you can't say fucky, fucking, fuckola, fuckeroony, or fuckerino either.
Fuckerini.
Fuckerino.
Well, I said, yeah, that would crowd up my list some more. So I just struck that motherfucker away. Struck it from the list. Motherfucker was gone. Now the list was shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, tits. Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, tits. Does it sound like something's missing? Does it sound like an old friend is gone? Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, tits. Remember the old rhythm? Shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. Cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. Cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. Cocksucker, motherfucker, tits. Now, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker, tits. It falls apart. It isn't going anywhere. And by now, cocksucker is the dominant word on the list. Previously, with motherfucker on the list, cocksucker was somewhat balanced out.
But they that's got to go too, because you can't say cock.
And now,
well,
cocksucker
you
stands
can.
Alone. Actually, shit, piss, fuck, cunt, cocksucker.
You can say cock if you're talking about a rooster.
A rooster, yeah.
So, yeah. So, cock sucker.
Yeah.
What if a person has a penchant for rooster meat?
He'd be a cock eater, not a cock sucker.
What if he liked to suck it through a straw?
Now we're just dealing with absurdities.
I'd go too far.
Let's stay in reality here, Pat.
I think I went too far.
But I'm guessing you can't say cock eater either.
Right.
If we ever meet a man that kills roosters,
of course, you probably can't say Peter Eater either, so any girlfriend Pete's ever had can never be on our radio show because they can,
well, I'm not into it. I'm not at, no. No, no tongue on the butthole for me. No.
Your tits. And who knows, maybe it doesn't belong either. After all, motherfucker turned out to be a ringer. Let's take a look at cocksucker. See if this one belongs. We'll divide the word cock and sucker from each other, those words. Sucker isn't dirty. Sucker, that's it's suggestive as hell. But it isn't dirty. And cock, that's not dirty all the time. That's one of those words that's only partly filthy. Cock, if you're talking about the animal, it's perfectly all right. They used to read that to us from the Bible in third grade. And we would laugh, man. Cock is in the Bible. Remember the first time you heard about a cock fight? What?
Actually, the first time I heard about the Carolina Gamecocks, too.
Yeah.
And even the word cocksucker itself has been twisted out of all of its original meaning. It's been distorted. For some reason now, cocksucker means bad man. It's a good woman. How did they do that?
It's a good woman.
I love George Carlin.
May he rest in peace.
He's gone. Yeah. Uh-oh. Being as it were at the time of the year.
Yeah.
Where these two sports intersect.
Football and baseball.
This is an appropriate.
I'd like to talk a little bit about baseball and football. Yeah!
starting with baseball. Baseball is different from any other sport in a lot of different little ways. For instance, in most sports, you score points or you score goals. In baseball, you score runs. In most sports, the ball or the object is put in play by the offensive team. In baseball, the defense puts the ball in play, and only the defensive team is allowed to touch the ball. In fact, in baseball, if an offensive player touches the ball intentionally, he's out. Also, most sports, the team is run by a coach. In baseball, the team is run by a manager. And only in baseball does the manager or the coach have to wear the same uniform the players do. Can you picture Bill Parcells?
That's actually not true. They don't have to wear the uniform.
They just choose to.
Right.
Okay. I always kind of wondered that.
If you look at old school film,
yeah,
the coaches wore suits.
Okay.
I think it was in the 40s
where they started. That makes total sense.
Because the 40s was really the big era with World War II being on of the player coach.
Yeah.
And that's kind of how that started.
Yeah.
In his New York Giants uniform. Now, baseball and...
I would kind of like to see Bill Belichick.
Yeah. In a fucking jersey.
Yeah.
Nope.
Put him out there in the...
Nope. Pull over with the sleeves gone.
I do like that look, too. Like, that's fucking cool.
I look at him like, you're a dick, but god dang it, at least you're consistent.
Although...
The day he stops wearing it, I'll be pissed.
Although, with the Arizona Cardinals hiring the first female coach...
Oh.
Put her out there in her pads and...
Wow. Hopefully.
Oh, literal Pete. Shoulder pads.
Oh my god,
you know she doesn't prefer tampons. That's a thing.
I don't even know.
Where'd you get your information there, Frank?
Put her out there on her pads.
I said in her pads, not on her pads.
Well, there's a huge difference.
Yeah, there is a slight difference.
I don't even know how to address that.
Well, the pads go in the panties, and then they put them on. So she's in the panties with the pad in them.
Right. But she's
the joke plays. The joke plays.
I know exactly what you were going as soon as you said it. We just had to go there.
Football are different from one another in other kind of interesting ways, I think. First of all, baseball is a 19th century pastoral game. Football is a 20th century technological struggle. Baseball is played on a diamond in a park, the baseball park. Football is played on a gridiron in a stadium, sometimes called Soldier Field or War Memorial Stadium. Baseball begins in the spring, the season of new life. Football begins in the fall when everything is dying. In football, you wear a helmet. In baseball, you wear a cap. Football is concerned with downs. What down is it? Baseball is concerned with ups. Who's up? Are you up? I'm not up. He's up. In football, the specialist comes in to kick. In baseball, the specialist comes in to relieve someone. In football, you receive a penalty. In baseball, you make an error. Whoops! Football has hitting, clipping, spearing, blocking, piling on, late hitting, unnecessary roughness, and personal fouls. Baseball has the sacrifice. Football is played in any kind of weather. Rain, sleet, snow, hail, mud. Can't read the numbers on the field. Can't read the yard markers. Can't read the players' numbers. The struggle will continue.
Except lightning.
Yeah.
They won't play in lightning.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense because the fucking stadium is made of metal.
Well, that's more for crowd safety than players.
The players, fuck it, let's go. I'm going to kill a motherfucker, let's go.
Because I remember watching the Fog Bowl.
Yeah.
I'm sure you saw tapes of it.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember watching it on TV, It was just a white screen.
Oh,
with
nice.
People talking. And every once in a while, you saw a shadow.
Nice.
All if it rains, we don't come out to play. I can't come out to play. It's raining out.
See, but the difference is that baseball, unlike football, is you'll play two games in a day.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if they had to do doubleheaders in football?
Oh, my fucking God. I think those guys would die.
Baseball has a seventh inning stretch. Football has the 2-minute warning. Baseball has no time limit. We don't know when it's going to end. We might have extra innings. Football is rigidly timed and it will end even if we have to go to sudden death. In baseball, during the game in the stands, there's kind of a picnic feeling. Emotions may run high or low, but there's not that much unpleasantness.
He's
hey. When was this made?
He's never been to Fenway.
Or fucking Wrigley.
Or, well, no, Wrigley is...
I was going to say he's never been to a White Sox game.
Yeah.
I was going to say, yeah.
One of these Puerto Ricans just stabbed the shit out of me.
He's never been to a Red Sox-Yankees game at Fenway.
I have heard that is a fucking slugfest.
It is.
The Giants and Dodgers. Like that. Like,
not so much anymore.
There was a motherfucker a few years ago that got beat to almost to death at Dodger Stadium.
In football, in the stands during the game, you can be sure that at least 27 times you were perfectly capable of taking the life of a fellow human being. Preferably a stranger. And finally, the objectives of the two games are totally different. In football, the object is for the quarterback, otherwise known as the field general, to be on target with his aerial assault, riddling the defense by hitting his receivers with deadly accuracy, in spite of the blitz, even if he has to use the shotgun. With short bullet passes and long bombs, he marches his troops into enemy territory, balancing this aerial assault with a sustained ground attack which punches holes in the forward wall of the enemy's defensive line.
That's one way to put it.
Yeah. With plans of attack.
In baseball, the object is to go home. And to be safe. I hope I'll be safe at home.
I never thought of it that way, but yeah.
George Carlin, the master of drawing conclusions that are like, make you go, huh.
Except you can get to a safe place by stealing from other people. Sorry, Carlin, that don't hold up.
Yeah. I remember, I don't know, somebody was talking about it. I don't know if we did it on this show or whatever, but there was a baseball game between heaven and hell.
Yeah, yeah, we played it before.
Well, no,
yeah.
No, it wasn't that bit. It was actually like a movie or something like that.
Oh, where I didn't even know there was a movie.
They had some kind of weird ball game between heaven and hell, and the good guys couldn't steal. Because it was considered a sin.
That's fucking stupid. Now, I like it when they're playing baseball and hook, and the one guy tries to steal, and someone pulls out a pistol and shoots him dead right there on the fucking field. That's great. Bad form. Like, that's fucking... Now, that's how baseball
That. You know, I've said that about golf, too. I'm like, golf would be a lot more exciting on TV if it was full contact golf.
Yeah. Yeah.
Imagine the heaven team avoiding the seven deadly sins on the field. Like, they can't make too many plays. That's gluttony. They can't just stand in the outfield. That's sloth.
Well, they can't show off because that's
vanity.
They
can't chase the ball too hard. That's lust. They can't lead the bases too far. That's greed. That would be a shitty team.
I don't know why that was so funny.
A pious baseball team. Well, they're screwed.
Hold on. I Googled baseball comedy. And the first one that came up...
Who's on first?
No. It's actually the third
Major
one.
Major League.
Really?
No. Bunting with Kent Murphy.
what the fuck is this?
That's the thing you hang on the 4th of July.
Welcome back, kids and coaches. I'm Coach Kent Murphy, and today I'm going to teach you kids how...
Sorry.
...how to bunt and the proper way to do it. Fucking... If you got something to say...
Did you just say fucking?
Fucking shut your mouth. It's really important.
I don't like videos.
Bunting.
I don't like videos.
Now, I brought my best friend, Chucky Wilson, along with me today. He just got out of jail again, but he's got a lot to offer you kids. So, listen up. We're going to go ahead and break this down from a fundamental standpoint. Chuck, if you wouldn't mind.
At least you're mad enough to admit it.
Now, the first thing that's going to happen when you're coming up to bat to bunt is you're going to have to step out and take the signal from your third base coach. Now, this is an important time in the bunting process. Because it gives you a chance to get out of having to lay down a pussy bunt like a dickwad. So after your coach gives you the signal, one good way to try to get out of having to bunt is to just throw your bat down and stare at him right in his stupid eyes. A lot of time that'll intimidate him, make him change a call. The other real effective way is to just yell it out. Just tell the other team, like, hey, man, I'm fixing to fucking bunt. Sometimes you get away with play, so you just wave it off because he's like, well, ain't no fucking...
You want to get out of bunting. Hey, y'all. Hey, I'm looking at fucking bunt. Bring it in. That was pretty good.
I want to laugh, but...
That's not that far off.
Those guys that telegraph a little too hard and then the call gets changed.
No, I full on did exactly...
You told the catcher, I'm going to bunt this.
No, no. I'm batting.
Yeah.
I'm walking up, you know, from the on-deck circle. This is in high school, by the way.
Yeah, I gotcha.
Right there. And it was one of the later games. Like, we're trying to make the playoffs. And I'm, like, the third best hitter on the team.
Right, yeah.
I'm walking up to the batting box. I look over at the coach, and he gives me the bunt signal.
Like, fuck you.
And I look at him, and I'm like... I tried to shake him off like a pitcher.
No.
I'm like,
no.
And he goes,
no, fuck right. You.
I'm literally just shaking him off like a pitcher.
Yeah. You know, you that's funny as shit, right. By the way.
And the catcher's looking at me like, you okay? And I'm like, no. So I look over it the third time, and now he's got... You know, instead of the third base coach doing it, now
the fucking
our actual coach is throwing it out. And I'm like, I'm not fucking bunting, damn it!
Just thinking how that, knowing Frank, that's how that story would go. He's walking up to the plate. What do you mean a bunt?
No.
I know what you yelled out.
I am not fucking bunting, damn it!
That's funny as
then,
shit.
You know what I did?
Cracked a 3-run home
no,
run.
No, he bunted.
I bunted.
He pulled the double bluff.
Because you could see everybody coming in. Why they were coming in, I don't know. I'm guessing they knew our signals at this point. Because they saw the signals and they started creeping in. And then I finally said, I'm not fucking bunting, damn it. And they all backed up and I'm like,
oh, okay.
Oh, well, I guess I'm bunting.
Yep. I bunted for a hit, too.
Yep.
Which is hard to do in high school.
Yeah, take it down.
Dragged it right down the first baseline.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice from the right. Were you batting lefty or righty?
Righty.
Oh, shit. So you put it in your pocket and took it with you a few steps.
Exactly. But yeah, no, like I said, I want to laugh at that, but I'm like, I've fucking done that.
That's great.
Important doing that now. That works sometimes, but if you can't get out of it, you're just going to have to lay down the bunt, and I'm going to teach you how to do it, even though it's fucking the worst thing that's ever happened in my fucking life. So here we go.
First thing you do,
get your
bunting.
Bat and fucking get in the box. Fucking kind of look shitty about it.
Look shitty about it.
I despised bunting then. I despise bunting now. Yeah. I hate bunting.
Yeah.
I do not like... Now, if you're bunting for a hit, that's different.
That's way different. That's you see a crease in a defense and like you're fast as shit.
Right. If you've got legs like crazy on you and you can bunt for a hit, I don't got a problem
like
with that.
Willie Mays Hayes in fucking Major League. Like, that guy could run. Like, he put it in his pocket and took off.
Do not fucking like just giving the defense a free out.
Yeah.
bunt to get him into scoring position. Fuck you. Make him run faster when I clock one into left field.
Yeah. Make his ass go from first to third.
Why should I make it easier for the next guy?
Yeah.
To get the RBI. I want the fucking RBI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's probably a reason why you're not playing baseball.
Yeah.
I'm just fucking with you, dude. I don't mean.
We've talked about that.
That he was running with a tuba.
When you're hard
to bunt for first base with a tuba.
When you're drafted in the 48th round, you make the decision: Do I really want to go play AAA for 20 years?
Single A
for 20 years?
Yeah.
I'm like, I was good for high school. I was good.
I got something after this, by the way. Sorry.
In college. But, you know, and I considered it for a while. I'm like, this would be kind of fun to do, but I'm already older than everybody else. Like
right,
crazy,
yeah.
You know, and, out of high school, I was drafted 48th. Out of college, I was also drafted 48th. Or not like the 48th pick. I mean, like
round.
In the 48th round, you know, both times. And there's like a 7-year gap. And I'm like,
Well, nope.
Like I said, by that point, I was, 25?
Yeah.
Looking at a minimum 5 years in the minors with no hope of looking up, you know, because...
Yeah.
Because I looked at it, I'm like, I'm good against all of these guys that are never going to play baseball again after we're done.
Yeah.
But
the old Mallard's curse.
Yeah.
Right. But I'm like,
man, these guys are awesome. Two of them get recruited in the NHL. Fuck it. These guys fucking suck.
Right. That's because they're playing the Quad City Mallards.
Well, you see, like I said, when you're playing high school
and
college.
They're playing all the Quad City Mallards. And then
they had amazing. Right. They had records that made the NHL guys go, wow, that's really, really good for minors. And then they get into the new year already.
Well, like I said, high school and college, I was good. I wasn't great. I was good. The only thing that I was really great at was throwing guys out at second.
Which, that's a rare skill. That's a really rare...
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, I was...
That's probably
what
got you drafted in 48.
Well, it was that and a slightly better than average bat.
Yeah.
Like a .4 or...
I usually hit about 300.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, it's one of those ones... But he could probably hit 230 in the majors.
Exactly.
And be we can train him to be a really good defensive catcher.
And that's what it would have been. I wouldn't have been known for... I would have been Mendoza.
Yeah.
You know, you hear about the Mendoza line. You know, you keep him around because he's a good defensive catcher.
Jose Molina. Yadier's older brother. He fucking sucks with a bat, but like... All three of those guys can gun motherfuckers down across the base pass.
I was
pass.
A really good catcher on the defensive end.
Yeah.
I was batting about 300 against high school and college pitchers.
Yeah.
So then you throw me into the minors against the best of the best of all those high school and college. Yeah, probably wasn't going to do so well.
Yeah.
And then I thought, I'm like, okay, if they think so little of me that I'm drafted, let's see, what's 48 times 32? 1500th.
Yeah.
What are the odds that I'll ever make it out of single A?
Yeah.
And then and then what happened there is I'm like, okay, single A. $500 a month?
No. Nope.
4 months a year?
Right, yeah. There's a couple people I've actually read in the minor leagues. There was one dude who was a teacher. Like, he went to college, got his teaching certificate, and played baseball during the summer in the minor leagues, and then taught the rest of the fucking year.
You can do that if you don't want to make baseball your career, but then the team also has to be willing to let you do that, too, because then you're just taking a spot.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really what I would have been doing.
Yeah.
Is taking a spot from somebody that had a legitimate chance. I looked at my athletic prowess, and I'm like... Because at this point, I mean, it used to be that you could be a defensive catcher and make the major leagues.
Yeah.
Huh? Right. Huh?
David Darren would crack a beer on Fridays.
Well, that's what I was actually thinking about that when I was taking a piss. We'll talk about that in a minute. You know, I mean, back in the day, you could be a defensive catcher. The only catcher that I remember of me growing up that was known for his bat was fucking Carlton Fisk.
Yeah.
Well, I take that back. Johnny Bench. I'm sorry. Johnny, that's what I meant. Yeah. Johnny Bench. Carlton Fisk. What am I smoking?
How many beers have I had?
Carlton Fisk was not a catcher.
You're on four.
Anyway, Johnny Bench.
Yeah.
Offensive catcher. But could run the fucking team like crazy.
Yeah.
See, I had that part of it. I could run the team like crazy on the defensive end. I didn't have that great of a stick. And I'm basically... Unless I hit it out of the park, I don't think I ever hit a triple in my career.
That makes sense. Yeah.
I'm not fast.
No.
Not at all. I've got zero speed. I never did. You know, I hit a couple of doubles. If you hit it into the corner and they flub the ball, I'm going to hit a double.
There's a lot of people like that.
Other than that, you know, there's a pretty good chance if the left fielder catches it on one bounce, he's going to throw me out at first, you know?
That's one of those ones you huff it down there. Fuck this! I'm not gonna throw that.
So anyway, that just wasn't my thing. You know? And when I was playing in college too, because I had been in the military at that point, I wasn't playing the game because I had to. I was playing it because I wanted to. I wasn't getting any kind of scholarship, anything like that. No, I was there on the GI Bill. Yeah. I made the team. I was playing. I didn't expect it to go any further. The coach calls me up and says, hey, you got drafted in the 48th round by the Dodgers.
Okay. That's one point. I fucking hate watching and following baseball. But it's a fun game to play.
Yeah.
I had more fun striking out in baseball than I ever did playing football with friends or even on high school.
I love baseball. And I think that maybe that's one of the reasons why I love baseball so much is because I loved playing it so much. Yeah. You know, and I can picture myself, like I said, I wasn't the greatest, but I could picture myself playing in the major leagues.
Yeah.
So I don't know about, because I had never played baseball in high school or anything like that. But football, to me, demanded a type of perfection that you can't see in baseball.
Well,
those moments where they get the interception, right. They run it back for a touchdown, and suddenly... You're not down one run. You're down 7 points.
Yeah.
An 80-yard drive.
Well, the same thing happened in football. When I got done with college, you know, I played football in college on a 1AA team, so, you know, a shitty college team.
Mm-hmm.
But I got an offer. I didn't get drafted for football. I got an offer for a free agent walk-on tryout, which basically means you show up the first day of training camp and maybe we'll invite you back.
Depending upon what happens.
Right. You know,
yeah.
You've got no chance of making the team. But really, I went and after the first day, we didn't even put pads on yet. You know, the first day is just walkthroughs. And I was like, fuck. These guys are good. There's no way I'm doing this.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
I am not prepared to put in that kind of work.
Yeah.
And for those listening, I'm not saying you can fuck up a lot in baseball. I'm not saying that. But if you have one bad game.
Right. Well, that's the difference.
A couple other people that have a great game on the same team can carry you. It's really hard to be carried in football.
The difference, too, is that in baseball, you can have one bad game.
Yeah.
Because you play 162 of them a year.
Yeah, if you're a shitty receiver in the NFL, you're screwed.
Yeah, as opposed to, you know, football, if you have one bad game.
Better hope you're on contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, see, and that's not even the point. The crazy part about football is they could say, get the fuck out, and then
pay your fee.
No.
Right. Yes.
Well, there's
90% of contracts include a termination fee.
Okay,
let's hypothetically picking a quarter.
It's called. You've heard him talk about guaranteed money.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Like Tom Brady has the worst season imaginable. He throws every other pass as an interception.
Yeah.
Getting sacked, injured, and constantly. If they fire him next year, he had a $30 million contract written into that contract as a. They either have to trade him, which is why most of them trade rather than just firing the fuckers. Mm-hmm. So they trade the third string. Or second string, and another team is willing to pick that up because you still have Tom Brady in your back pocket, and he's an experienced QB.
Right.
But otherwise, they'd have to pay him $2 million up front.
Okay.
And then he can go and become a caster for ESPN
or they just flat out fire him, pay him his money, and then he still gets the job with the other team.
Pick him up as a free agent, sign him for a year, anything like that.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. See, they kind of have that in baseball a little bit.
You get DFA'd, but your entire contract.
The difference is that in baseball, pretty much the entire contract is guaranteed money.
Yeah.
Minus the performance incentives.
Yeah. You're just the team's on the hook for your entire contract.
Honestly, the player unions in the NFL are probably the strongest union in the U.S.
Right. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Right. I totally agree with that.
Right. But the difference is that in football, they actually write it into the contract as, this amount of the money is guaranteed money. If we fire you, we will pay you this much.
Okay.
You know.
I wouldn't say it's normally a percentage, but it's usually a good portion of the flat.
Right. And it depends, too, you know, on how far into the contract you are. Too.
So, yeah. Who was the record? I think it was Randy Moss was the record holder for a long time for the Patriots at like $30 million, $35
million. No, the best one.
So they fired him that first season. He probably would have seen $7 to $8 million just in his pocket. Thanks for the shitty season, Randy.
Hey. Yeah.
His incentive to stay for that 4-year contract was the 30.
Yeah. I gotcha.
No, there was a...
Santos, you can't drink beer.
You do run that other risk of if you really screw up your season, nobody will pick you up for the other one. So then you're not earning any money. And
yeah.
No, there's one. I remember...
That's why I always have a problem with the big players in any sport throwing hissy fits.
Right.
You need to shut. Because there's, you know,
all right,
the 138th round draft pick on your team is going to muscle it out for 10, 15 years some money.
The 15 worst contracts in American sports history.
Okay.
And we've only got 9 minutes to get through this. Bobby Bonilla, and this is the one that I was trying to think of with the New York Mets, his contract was bought out for $5.9 million. When the Mets signed Bonilla to a 5-year, $29 million deal in 1991, they made him the richest player in baseball. His time with the Mets would be tumultuous, but fairly productive. It was when he came back to the Mets in 99 that things went straight downhill. He spent most of the season arguing with manager Bobby Valentine, and at the end of the year, the Mets decided to buy out his contract. However, instead of paying him a lump sum of $5.9 million that they owed him, they decided to defer payment on the contract until 2011 and then pay him over $1 million a year for 25 years.
Holy shit.
Therefore, the 47-year-old Bobby Bonilla is making almost three times as much money this year as their now starting catcher. And he hasn't played in 15 years.
Wow. That's some shitty fucking contracts structure there. Jesus fucking.
AJ Burnett, New York Yankees.
No, it was a really shitty decision to fire the guy that you paid so much money for.
Yeah.
No, the shitty decision was to defer the payments. Now they're going to pay him over $25 million instead of 5.9.
Yeah.
AJ Burnett, New York Yankees. Contract 5 years, $82.5 million. So the Yankees have won a lot of titles, but they paid more money to bums than any team in sports
history. That is very true.
They grossly overpaid Danny Tartabal, Hideki Irabu, thank you.
Yeah.
Carl Pavono, and Jason Giambi. But the worst contract they doled out went to Burnett. The one-time Marlin and Blue Jay star has been a total dud in New York, where he's gone 32-35 with a 4.81 ERA, and there are still 2 years left on his owners.
And I think he's actually got, like...
I don't know. I didn't see a year on this.
He's actually now playing for the Pirates.
Yeah. This doesn't give me a year.
I think that was 2012 or something like that.
So this might be a couple of years old, but still.
Yeah, no, no, I got you. Yeah.
Still bad.
It's still real bad.
Barry Zito, San Francisco Giants.
Oh, my God. I remember this because I was actually active on the Cubs message board when this guy went into free agency. And everybody was like, oh, my God, he's won a Cy Young. We need to get him. Went to the fucking Giants. Sucked it up for six fucking years.
7 years, $126 million.
Yep. Jesus.
A Cy Young Award winner and three-time All-Star with the Oakland A's.
Yep.
Zito went across the bay to San Francisco in 2007, signing an astronomical seven-year deal. He has been a complete dud in San Francisco. In Oakland, he went 102-63 with a 3.55 ERA. In San Francisco, he's 41-63 with a 4.52. His strikeouts have dropped dramatically, as has the velocity of fastball. He is so bad in 2010, the Giants left him off their playoff roster.
Yep, I remember that.
He was even worse in 2011 before having the season cut short by a contract in there. And there are still 2 years left on his contract. So yep. this looks like it's 2012 was when this list came out.
We need to get through the list. Let's go.
Danny Nagel, Colorado Rockies.
Pat's brother.
5 years, $81 million, or $51 million. 4 years after going 20-5 with a 2.97 ERA with the Braves, Nagel's ship came in. He signed a lucrative deal with the Rockies, and he and Mike Hampton were expected to lead the team to the promised land.
Oh, Mike Hampton.
His time with the Rockies was, like Hampton's, a disaster. He went 19-23 with a 5.57 ERA in 3 seasons. There was some good news for the Rockies, however. After 3 disastrous seasons, they were able to void the contract. They had thought to include a morals clause, and getting caught in a compromising position with a hooker in 2004 violated the contract.
That totally makes sense for the Rockies, because the Rockies is a Christian-based organization in baseball.
Okay.
Like everything. Yeah.
Alexei Yashin.
I don't know who the fuck that is.
New York Islanders, hockey.
Oh, shit.
10-year, $87.5 million contract. An atrocious contract. It crippled the Islanders' front office and made Yashin untradeable. He was so awful by 2007 that the Islanders bought out his contract for over $17 million.
What does it say, not only about the team names, but the contract amounts and period, that we can nail the period of time that the contract came? I'm saying mid-80s. Mid-80s, early 90s. Did it give a year?
No, it was 2000s.
Really? Oh, wow.
He's played the last several years in Russia, but there have been talks of him rejoining the Islanders in 2011.
Well, he's fucking making money.
Okay, so this must be 2010, 2011.
Yeah.
Then. All right. Let's go ahead and kill the stream. We've got about 3 minutes left. We can talk
download
the
podcast, you lazy piece of crap.
Download the podcast, radiofubar.com. We're not going to go 8 hours like we did last week.
That was ridiculous.
But because we started late, we might go a little while. We still got half a case of beer here to drink.
We have 1.5 cases of beer to drink.
Yeah. But anyway. So we'll keep going. Radiofubar.com. You can find the podcast. Oh, and the news that we didn't talk about, we're talking about doing the tryout for the morning show. We're going to have to do a clean show.
Yeah.
Which we tried to start before I started playing George Carlin. Anyway, we got to do a clean show. Like I said, we can be suggestive and all that kind of stuff. But we're going to actually do a show with, like, news breaks and doing it right. Like, it would actually be a proper morning FM.
I gotcha.
Can we listen to Reefer and the Wolf?
Right. But no, it'll actually be more like a Bob and Tom type show, boring show, than a, you know, like what we get, what are the two Nimrods here, the dorks that they had?
Oh, well,
Dwyer and Michaels
first off,
or whatever,
fuck
they would
Dwyer
talk,
and Michaels. Dave well, you know and Darren what I mean? They would, way
they,
better.
But yeah, but you know what I mean, where they would talk for 5 minutes and then play 3 songs and talk for 5 minutes, you know, like that.
I don't like Dwyer and Michaels. They're fudgy.
No, this will actually
Nimrod's
be like...
perfect way to put it.
But this will be like what we're doing here, just with commercial breaks and news and updates and sports and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, anyway, and we'll actually need callers and stuff like that. So if you're listening... we'll have you call in.
Stranger danger.
Yeah, other than that, like I said, like we said earlier, radiofubar.com, Radio Fubar on Twitter, Radio Fubar on Facebook.
Patreon.
Are we on Patreon?
Amazon.
Oh, Amazon, okay.
Yeah, go to radiofubar.com.
I thought we had a donate button.
Amazon link. We do, that's a PayPal.
Oh.
We have a Patreon too, but nobody ever even looked at it, so what's the point? See you guys next week. Hopefully we'll be on time.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, like I said, that wasn't just your fault. You know, if I wouldn't have got hung up at work, I would have been here on time. Pete and I could have started, and you would have showed up.
Yeah, showed up. Hey, look at this fucking.
But by the time
God knows he's not going to let me on the air alone.
But by the time I got there, there was no point in calling. I'm like, okay, I can get there 10 minutes before Matt. We're still both late, so
yeah.
You know, because I didn't even get to the truck stop until 5 o'clock. Yeah. So see everybody next week. Bye.
Right. Imagine. Hey, you're with Pete, and this is Angry Time.
Mike Hampton, Colorado Rockies.
He His contract was fucking terrible.
8-year, $121 million contract.
He was the crazy part about Mike Campton, he was really fucking good with the Braves, went to the Rockies and sucked
the dick.
That's
usually the worst. The Rockies, coming off an 82-80 season in 2000, thought if they signed a couple of big-name free agent pitchers, they'd make they would be World Series champions. And so they made it rain on Mike Campton. Bad move. Hampton was awful with the Rockies. The first year of his contract, he had an ERA over 5. The second year, he went 7-15 with a 6.15 ERA.
He's real fucking bad.
Do you know enough about baseball to know what an ERA is, Pete?
No. Earned run average?
Yes. Yeah, it's basically how many runs you allow to score in one 9-inning average game.
For what player? What
pitcher?
Position?
For that pitcher. For pitcher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I realized that ERA lower was better, but I didn't know exactly position it was. Yeah.
What they do is they take the number of runs you allow to score, and then divide it by 9.
Yeah.
Yeah. The number of runs times the inning pitch divided by 9. So
yeah.
Basically, it's how many runs you on average.
While you were on the mound,
score.
How many were per game
for every 9 innings.
Yeah.
So basically, if he pitched a full game, you could expect 6 runs to go across.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is bad.
That's real bad. Even in the bank
usually
box, that's
under 4 is good.
Yeah.
Under 3 is great.
Really, that's fucking
like,
good.
That's like 7 interceptions per game for a quarterback.
Yeah.
That's bad.
Yeah, it's real fucking bad.
6 and 5? Okay.
Under 3 is great. Under 2
phenomenal.
Is Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Like Clayton Kershaw at the fucking Dodgers.
If you go a full season with an ERA under 2, you are a god pitcher.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, the Rockies agreed to
it's got
to
be a lot of no-hitters, though, too.
Yeah. That's exactly... Yeah.
No, not necessarily no hitters.
Just no, they.
Oh, his time at bat. That's right. Never mind.
Yeah.
Or his time on the mound. Sorry.
Yeah.
Right. It's just runs you allowed to score per 9 innings.
Because if they relieve him and the other guy gives him 6 fucking.
that doesn't go against you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, it's weird with ERA because you can be on the hook for runs that you allow to be on the base pass.
Right. Yeah. If the runner is on base when the switch is made, everybody that you left on base when they pulled you can still affect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like
that's
like
one point about football statistics that kind of pisses me off. You know how sacks are calculated?
Yeah, you
player to make
guy.
First contact.
Are you fucking kidding
so
me?
So if I touch him first
and
you
then,
come
and
in
I fucking
and seal
him?
I got him and he's going down, you come in and you assist, I get the sack, you don't.
Well, a lot of times what they've been doing now is giving each of them a half a sack.
So that's like that. How we're half
a sack.
Yeah.
So even if
I was wondering how the fuck you get half a fucking sack. Like I kind
of the other shitty side of that though is if I initiate contact and the quarterback or whoever breaks free, the quarterback breaks free and
basically
Matt comes in, nails him next and takes him down,
guy.
We both get half a credit.
Yeah.
That.
Yeah.
Just because I made contact too. Now, because even the new way is like, that's kind of bullshit. They should either.
Right. But that's where the half a sack comes from. But no, this is, what was I saying?
We're talking about ERA.
Oh, ERA. Let's say you come in the sixth inning. You've been having a good game. You come in the sixth inning and then all of a sudden just tank.
Two walks and
a bloop hit.
Yeah.
Now it's bases loaded, nobody out.
You get yanked.
And they yank you. You are still responsible for those 3 guys that are on base.
Yeah.
You're not responsible for the guy at the plate unless you've already pitched to him.
So if the relief pitcher lets him in.
They go against your ERA.
Yeah.
They should have let you finish that.
Right.
Kind of. Maybe, because if you continue to suck.
Right. Yeah.
No, I understand.
Right, but everybody that he pitches to goes under him. So the guy at the plate counts against him. The guys base already.
That's kind of fair.
If he knocks a home run, the guy who was at bat when he knocked the home run, that RBI, that run goes against that guy that's pitching now.
Right. But the other 3 go against yours.
That actually seems really fair.
It does seem. Yeah, the first time I figured
I
that
let
out,
those 3 guys on base, I should pay for it.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. The first time I understood
it
that
is
about
shitty.
ERA,
it is shitty though, because if the relief pitcher keeps him off the plate. If he keeps him from completing the run.
Well, that's actually an entire different statistic. That's a hold.
That's called a hold.
That's called a hold.
Oh, I had no idea that statistic
existed. The one thing baseball is big on numbers. Numbers. They count everything.
I know.
I'm pissed off at football statistics. That's why I don't follow baseball.
No, baseball counts everything.
This is the third game this year he's rushed for 24 yards in the first quarter while raining in San Francisco.
Oh, it gets real. You want to talk about some fucking records, man. Like baseball records.
We're playing in New York and we're counting rain in San Francisco for some reason, but it happened, Tom.
Crazy records in baseball. That's what you're looking up, right? Crazy.
The dumbest statistics in any sport would qualify.
Yeah. No, the records, the things that are fucking calculated in baseball is crazy.
Hold on, let's.
We actually have to go to the announcers for it, though. Yeah. Like, the craziest statistics ever quoted by an
announcer. Exactly. Well, yeah, because, I mean, if you remember in Major League.
I crap you not. One I heard last season. Oh. Oh, here we go.
Nice going. Don't bump the damn ball. Yeah.
Hold on.
Nice throw, dickhead.
Hold on.
This is the montage scene. What are you doing?
Okay, here it is. It's coming up here.
Top of the sixth, and rookie sensation Ricky Vaughn on the pitch now. You can close the book on Kelner.
Vaughn.
Thank God.
Black, only four runs down. We're still in this game.
You take it to him?
Oh, all right.
Look, man, guy gets a second. First
hold
sign
on,
indicator.
Juvenile delinquent in the offseason in his major league debut.
I'm going to light your ass up, meat.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
Then you like throw it in the fucking left hand.
Yeah. Four.
He's throwing it.
Ball eight.
Just into the corner.
And Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12
Euker.
Straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
He's throwing it like 8 feet outside. He's throwing it behind the batter.
I love the one. It's like, you can't say. You can't say shit on.
Who cares? Nobody's listening anyway.
I know that baseball is worse, but this is the first one I can think of off the top of my head. And give me a second because I'm into five beers. Last season, I heard this during a Patriots game. This is the largest amount of yards that Brady has passed for.
Right.
In an away game. In the first six games of a season. Well, and I just went, fuck you. How do I check that? Where's the, what?
Well, that's what I'm trying to get to. I don't know if it's Major League or if it's possibly,
what do you,
there's a movie where they do a shit ton of those. I don't know if it's Major League or if it's,
Bull Durham?
I don't think it's Bull Durham.
It's not Bull Durham. Because that one's actually fun.
I just had this moment where I'm like, why'd you even open your mouth?
I was actually watching that game with you.
No, you weren't. Trust me, you weren't. Because I was streaming online. I was in my room. And I just heard it, and I'm like, this is why I hate sports announcers. And I know sometimes you have nothing to say, but just because a guy hands you a piece of paper from the back, there should be a bylaw saying, I don't have to read this. I can literally just, sauerkraut, dim sum, Taiwan, marijuana cigarette. I could say whatever I wanted because there's nothing valuable to say right now. That statistic didn't impact this game at all.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the top 10 Harry Doyle lines in honor of Major League Night in Milwaukee. And this actually just came out this year.
Nice. Yeah, Bob Uecker's still fucking announcing for the Brewers.
Oh, I was going to do a one-minute movie review.
Oh, nice.
Of?
Draft Day. Kevin Costner.
Oh, and I watched that a couple of weeks ago.
CBS Sports.
I didn't.
Romance plot line? Pointless.
Yeah.
Every other part of it, I was like, that's actually pretty clever. Yeah. Like, that's probably.
Well, it was the same thing. It was the same thing when, remember the other shitty sports movie he did, For Love of the Game.
Yeah.
I love the baseball part of it, but a lot of the shit that was going on.
I get why they were putting her in there, because it was that, like, the moral, the conscious, she was the Jiminy Cricket to his Pinocchio.
Right.
But then I sat back and I'm like, this is the best movie portrayal of the post-draft summary
that you could hope for. Because you hear, like, your favorite team or a team, like, gave up two picks for the next 2 years to seal this player away from this person who had a pick before him. And you're like, why would they do that? And really good portrayal of that on screen.
Yeah.
The romance plot line, unneeded. She could have been his friend. She just could have been a sports statistic person on the team to help him out with that.
That's the reason why I love Moneyball so much. Moneyball is fantastic. Yeah.
It was like a football version of Moneyball in the draft.
Yeah.
The Milwaukee, this was earlier in the year this year.
Yeah.
Last month, actually, I think. The Milwaukee Brewers are having an excellent promotion Tuesday evening. It's Major League Night. Meaning the legendary movie, which is, in my humble opinion, is the best Major League or best baseball movie ever. Or at least comedy, I would
say. Yeah, comedy-wise, yeah, absolutely. It's hands down the best comedy.
At least from an entertainment standpoint.
Yeah.
What would you guys say is not the best comedy?
No, we'll get there later.
I didn't see as a person who doesn't follow baseball. I figured that would be a...
here's what he says. Here are the top 10 Harry Doyle lines. Harry Doyle was Bob Uecker announcing for the Indians in Major League.
Phenomenal. Right. Fucking phenomenal.
Here are the top 10 Harry Doyle lines from Major League. No, I'm not including Major League 2 or whatever madness followed in Back to the Minors.
That one. That's the worst comedy in baseball, the third fucking Major League movie.
Yeah, with...
should have kept it at
Scott
one.
Bakula.
Yeah, that was shit. That was shit.
I wonder what Ziggy says about this player.
Everything he's in, I can't do it.
Yeah, no, yeah.
I just keep expecting that guy to show up. Ziggy's all wigged out. Every Enterprise...
Did he actually?
What do we do with the Andorians?
No, no.
Ziggy says the Andorians are
fucking
pissed.
Show up in an episode
of
Enterprise.
Yes, he did cameo in it. He did a role for one episode, but it was
all right. Says these are obviously scientific, and if you disagree with how I rank them, it definitely serves as a commentary for the sorry state of journalism these days, or something. What follows are not necessarily one-liners, as some could just be grouped together as a series of lines consecutively happening during the movie. We'll go in reverse order to build the already intense drama. Number 10, remember when the Duke threw at his kid? So this guy threw at his own kid in a father-son game. Says, I generally think this line is overrated, but overrating doesn't mean bad. You know, it's just not on par with some of his better work.
That's very true.
We don't know where Harry's played last year, but I'm sure he did a hell of a job.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah.
The hint of irony in the predicate makes this one. We can also group this with Hayes' weak grounder to second base because it gives us this quote. Here's a hot shot towards the hole, and then give Rudy credit for sacrificing body on that racket. The guy has got a family to think about.
I wonder if Bob wrote his own lines for
this. I think he did.
That's fantastic.
I think he improvised a lot of them.
That's brilliant.
Because, like I said, it's the one good thing about being in and around Milwaukee a lot like I am during in
you
the summer is that I can hear Uecker on the radio calling the games.
Nice.
Wait, he still is?
He still is.
He's got to be in his 80s.
Yeah.
He's damn close.
Vince, you fucking hear this? Vince Scully
signed on for a 67th year.
Yeah. Fuck! And that's a one-man job. Like
he's been, what is it, the Dodgers?
Yeah, he's with the Dodgers.
He's been there since they moved to L.A.
Yeah, yeah. One man.
He was with them when they were still the
fucking
Brooklyn Dodgers.
Yeah.
Number 8, remember when he didn't know the lineup?
Yeah.
A lot of new faces in Chief Wahoo's try this year, and they take on the defending American League champs, the New York Yankees. And hopefully we'll have some names that go with those faces before the first at bat.
Guys hate me.
Why?
Because I'm actually, as a person that doesn't follow baseball, I'm a Yankees fan.
No, that's fine.
I go off the old school, like, the old days where it was Babe Ruth and the rest.
No, that's fine for me.
Right. But Matt, remember, bonus points for Doyle pouring himself a shot of Jack Daniels as he's delivering that line.
it's like he's got one of his, like, you could see
I think
him,
he was
like,
putting in a dry coffee cup, too.
I don't know if it was,
I think it was a dry coffee cup. Yeah,
that or a beer cup or something like that.
He's like, you see him kind of like move away from the microphone like this.
Yeah. We had that moment watching Back to the Future too. I'm like, that principal, he just drank whiskey. There was no coffee in there. He just drank some whiskey.
And remember this light. In case you haven't noticed, and judging by the attendance, you haven't. The Indians have managed to win a few here and there, and are threatening to climb out of the cellar.
Threatening to climb out of the cellar.
The attendance jab was a fun throw-in. And I love how joyous he sounds about the Indians possibly not being in last place in the near future.
See, I need to listen to some Bob Uecker, because it's those, we in church called it word pictures, threatening to climb out. I'm gonna get up there. Right. When you paint those and it makes you laugh.
Of course, you remember this line, Matt? Haywood. Haywood was the main.
The other guy.
He was the bad guy on the other team. Yeah. You know. Haywood leads the major in most offensive categories, including nose hair. When this guy sneezes, he looks like a party favor.
His mustache, too, man. It looked like you're fucking... It's just like...
Right. Now, Matt, after I say this first line, I need you to say, no.
Okay.
Monty, anything to add?
No.
Hey, he's not the best color man in the league for anything, folks.
I knew that was going to be the setup. That's fantastic. That's the best part about that.
What do you have to say about that, Matt?
I don't know.
And there's Matt Reeve for everybody.
All right.
Even in that movie, I know it was an act on that, but like, just think about it in that perspective of the play-by-play guy being on point enough to realize, well, that's what I got to work with.
Right.
So fuck.
Right. Haywood swings and crushes this one towards South America. Tomlinson is going to need a visa to catch this one. It's out of here, and there's nothing left but a vapor trail.
He actually needs to call some of the games like this.
Now, the visa choice instead of a plane ticket or a passport is a stroke of fucking brilliance.
Yeah.
In order to have a chance to catch the ball, Tomlinson doesn't just need to get to South America. He needs to be legally granted authorization to live and work in a foreign country. Don't forget about the vapor trail part either. A rather colorful description. So, an eerie start for the Erie Warriors as they drop a heartbreaker to the Yankees, 9-0. The postgame show is brought to you by... Christ, I can't find it. To hell with it. All right. We've got quite a bit to unpack here. We've already fallen in love with Uecker's sarcasm on the heartbreaker front in a 9-0 game.
Yeah.
And then there's him going through a bunch of papers to find the post-game show sponsor, and out of frustration and not finding it, plus the 9.0 loss, bringing the star of the show, which is the post-ellipsis part of the above quote. Now, Matt, this is another one where you gotta read a line.
Okay.
It's the one where you can't say goddamn on the air.
Oh, okay.
All right. Let's see. One hit. And that's all we've got? One goddamn hit?
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Nah, don't worry. Nobody's listening anyway.
that is my favorite bit.
I know you'll never do it, but sometimes I wish that was the tagline for the show.
Yeah.
Who cares? No one's listening anyway. They'll get it on the podcast.
That is my favorite bit from Bob Uecker in that movie. It's like, can't say goddamn on the air. Well, no one's listening anyway, so who gives a shit? love it.
And then of course the one we just played there, hold on a second here.
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering, just a bit outside.
It's so far out that the catcher falls over
trying to catch the ball. Yeah, it's like it's
Vaughn into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He tried the corner and missed.
I fucking hate you guys.
Ball four.
Just think about ball this. Eight. Like, if you were not watching that actual game, you'd be like, oh, okay, yeah, I just missed. It's like, no, he fucking ruined it.
No sound with it either. No swearing. Just a bit outside. And you're like,
huh. I guess not that bad.
He's trying not to be a dick.
Oh, and Vaughn has walked the bases loaded on 12 straight pitches. Boy, how can these guys lay off pitches that close?
And by the end of it, he just doesn't give a fuck.
You make my heart sing. You walk everything.
Taylor, what are you doing back up here?
Couldn't cut it in the Mexican League.
That's your wife and my kids.
Vaughn in deep trouble here with Clue Haywood, last year's American League home run champ at the plate. Vaughn kicks, fires. Here is a swing and a drive toward left field and deep. Oh, boy.
No way. Too high. Too high.
Gone too off the high.
Too high. Slam home run for Haywood. Like a strike anyway.
Too high.
So Vaughn is off to a rocky start as Haywood clears the bases with one swing.
That's too high. Who gives a shit? It's gone.
I love the
thank God I'm with two guys that played on sports teams, because you're on the sidelines in those moments where you're not even cheering for your team. You're like, yeah, we're fucked.
Too high.
You see a receiver miss an easy pick, and you're like, we're fucked this game.
Third on this trip, 6-1 to the Rangers. For the Indians, one run on, let's say, one hit. That's all we got. One goddamn hit.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Yeah, it's phenomenal.
The first time I ever heard this, and I know it's a trope and I don't care, is when my own the defensive coordinator for Rocky said it. Couldn't catch a cold if you sneezed on him. As he missed the third obvious pick of the game. He's like, God damn it, sometimes that boy can't catch a cold if you sneeze on him. Switch him out.
You fucking knew that.
Three guys from the defensive line just looked at him and go, switch him out. We got a second string for a reason, coach. He's missed his third easy interception of the game. Fucking gone.
Get him out of there.
It was Waylon, too. I told you.
Yeah.
Don't stay so close, because you're making him run faster than they can catch. Get the interception, dude. No, you guys both suck, because every time we start getting to baseball talk, all I can think about is what's your favorite kind of cake? Every fucking time. That's all I can think about.
I played that for a few people, like, after I found that from listening to this, and I was like, listen to this. This is Pat. This is fucking Ron Santo getting so insanely pissed.
I just keep thinking, it's so fucking funny. He got so pissed. Well, I don't understand why you won't tell me what your favorite kind of cake is. Calm down, Ron. It's just cake. Like, he'd like to be a guy in the back of the booth like, Ron, it's just cake.
It's just cake.
It's just cake, dude.
Are you talking about Ronnie again?
Yeah.
No,
sorry, I'm getting another beer, but every time we start talking about baseball, you guys remind me of that.
That's because Ron Santo.
Every time we start talking about baseball,
that's the great thing when you put. That's the great thing when you put a baseball player.
Yeah. And the third time he brings it up, Pat's right. Like, just let it go. We got a game to comment on. Your color commentary is done for the next 10 minutes. Calm down.
Ronnie was the ultimate homer when it came to announcers.
He was really bad.
He knew that. Well, he was the color guy. Yeah. He didn't need to be good,
right?
I disagree because, well, not with you. I disagree.
I said
Matt.
Color, not colored.
No,
the way.
He was a really bad homer.
I disagree with Matt. With
oh, he was
reason.
A homer. He
if
was
there was a guy
on.
Like Ron on every baseball cast, I might start listening to baseball.
I mean, he flat on, full out was a Cub.
Yeah,
I mean, he played
through
his,
and through.
He played his
entire
year
life.
With the Cubs.
Yeah,
and then they brought him in as an announcer.
Yeah. And I think he loved the Cubs, but it's I listened to some of his stuff after his suit. He loved baseball, period.
Yeah.
He just loved being there.
He did. He did.
If there's a guy like that on every cast, I'd listen to all of them.
He did. He said that was the greatest thing about doing what he did as an announcer is that he got to go to the ballpark every day.
Yeah.
You know.
And get paid to do it.
Right. And it was
just like he got paid to do it to be a baseball player.
I don't know. He would have done it for free.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
He just liked being there.
Yeah.
He said, look, you give me a plane ticket to the away games, we're good.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, but no, he loved the game. He loved the Cubs.
It's like if you could pay Frank for making fun of fake Marines.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's doing what me for yelling at feminists. Bad feminists, not Ron and Regina.
Well, we call those hyper feminists.
Fourth wave is actually what they're I'm not trying to talk down here. I'm saying that's the official term, fourth wave.
Oh, Anita Sarkeesian and her fucking crew. Okay, snag it lighter again. Did we ever get through the entire list of Ron's best moments?
No, we went. We had like that 10-hour episode. Where we went through like 6 hours of it.
Okay,
I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm just saying we have done it. It's the first time I heard him.
I couldn't remember if we went through the entire.
My face is still sore from laughing.
Okay.
The other thing about working
could
at a radio
sit
station.
Sit down, please.
Yeah.
Hey, could you sit down? Or when they got the run, and he's just screaming, Gaia!
Oh,
what was the joke? Him screaming at the top of his lungs.
The best part.
This is my favorite of the year. I got to say, if I had to pick my favorite of the year, this is it.
Pat, I got a email, but the gentleman did not. He's from Ellicott City, Maryland, and he's been a Chicagoan for 41 years, and now he's been out there for 18 years, and somebody's screaming down there. They ought to shoot him.
I don't even remember it, but it's fucking awesome. I know we've played it, but it's just the way he's somebody's screaming down there. Somebody ought to shoot him. Security, murder that guy.
There are some seats right down below us where if fans stand up, they can completely block our view of the plate. And at this moment, a gentleman has stood up, and I cannot see the umpire, the catcher, or the batter. So, Ronnie, take over.
Sit down, please.
Kill.
Could you sit down, please?
Here is the 3-2 pitch on the way to Gonzalez. Fly ball on the right.
He's cracking
it's
up.
Be caught
Pat's
by a
cracking up.
Power,
that would be like you.
And that ends the inning.
Could you sit
up? Mr. Norwegian.
We go to the seventh inning here at Petco Park. 3-0 San Diego. We are happy to report that that gentleman has sat down after some gentle persuasion from a certain color commentator.
Well, I mean, it just was ridiculous. Everybody's walking up to him. He'll probably stand up again. You know, they feed everybody down here, and, oh, you couldn't even see home plate.
Oh, my God.
Could you sit down?
Take over, Ron.
This is my favorite.
Hey, Ron.
I got to say, if I...
Give us some color. Matt, give us some color commentary.
Could you sit down,
nope.
Please?
Completely misinterpreted. All right, I got this. Well, whatever. It's done now. He's doing it, ladies and gentlemen.
How about those professional ballet dancers?
Oh my gosh, I'd be embarrassed. It's like going out there and dancing nude. You know, how tight those are.
Two balls and one strike on Clay Bellinger. Swing the jump foul.
Those are always the best ones when he can break Pat.
Yeah. It's like dancing nude.
Dancing nude with the clothes so tight. Two balls, one strike. Shit. It was accurate. Damn it.
2-2.
We're still on the air, right? I'm sorry, I heard that conversation when they had it the first time. That is the funniest show on radio.
Boy, oh boy.
Yeah, this is going to be tough. The one right at the start of the last century, the most hits. Here's the pitch down low. Hannes Wagner.
Yes. God, that is amazing, Pat. You know, when you die, you should give your brain to science.
What a pleasant thought.
I want you to live a long life.
I understand. Three balls, no strikes.
Then they really shine.
It really is like a conversation between me and you, Pete.
The thing about Pat is that he does have an encyclopedic knowledge of baseball.
Of baseball,
so
yeah.
He can pull out like obscure facts about stuff like that. You know, like he can remember who played in what game and what year, you know, that kind of thing, and who they were batting against when they did, you know.
No, we got Thursday Taco Night or whatever we do now, and it's
right.
When the game doesn't get in the way, like when there's a blowout, which unfortunately there have been a couple recently.
Oh yeah, they were beautiful during the Cardinals series. Folks, there's two reasons to listen to the Pat and Ron show. Cubs baseball on WGN. One, the Cubs may be winning. Two, the Cubs may be losing. It's a win-win for us listeners either way.
1-0 Colorado in the fifth. Nobody out and a man at third. We were discussing the items that you should, or at least that I like to eat when it gets this hot.
Yeah, you. This is your idea.
And I mentioned I like to eat foods that are kind of cool for your system, like cucumbers and oranges.
Cucumbers are cool. Yeah,
yogurt.
They're cold. But does it make your system cold? I thought you were kind of saying...
It's my theory.
I can't go along with that theory.
One ball and no strikes on Adam Melhuis. Here's the pitch. Swing and a chop foul right side.
I think the best thing. Now, you were talking about food, yes. But you also had your tuna fish sandwich.
It's nice and cool.
And you had a little... That's cool
tuna.
Yeah, well... Yeah, it's cold tuna, but doesn't mean it's going to cool your body up. This is what you don't... Plus, you had some soup. Now, if you tell me that cooled you off, I don't know.
No, it did not.
No.
And that's why I wanted the other foods to kind of counterbalance... That hot soup. Adam Melhuis takes high. It's 2-1.
Let me ask you, how about ice water?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
Good.
And, of course, a nice big bowl of chili.
Somewhere in your childhood, something happened. I just don't know what.
Can you imagine?
Sometimes Pat just loves setting them up.
I know they'd never keep either one of them, or I know they wouldn't keep both of them, rather. But can you imagine if they actually hated each other off mic?
Oh, no.
No, these are two guys that even when they're pissed at each other.
Actually, you know what would have been the greatest thing?
Two beers in, they're hugging and saying how much they love each other. That you could tell that
Harry
when they talk.
And Ron.
No, even better if they would put Euchre and Ron together.
Oh, my God.
Which I think did happen for a couple of innings.
Yeah.
You know, like one of those where Euchre came in as a guest or something.
Yeah,
like
he's
that,
probably
you know.
Singing the seventh inning stretch and he came and hopped in. And like Pat, I think I actually watched this game a couple, like they do this like every once in a while. I think like the last time was when Euchre got put into the Hall of Fame or something like that. And like he showed up and like before he sings the seventh inning stretch, they go in at the end of the sixth, they go into the radio booth and
They do a half inning interview.
Yeah. And like,
which is the only time where, you know, you're sitting there, you know, luckily they do it at the bottom of the sixth.
Yeah.
So you're hoping for the Cubs to have a good inning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because the interview will last longer. If they go 1-2-3, then it's a real short interview.
Exactly. Yeah. And if I remember correctly, I think Pat said, well, Bob, why don't you take this?
Something like that.
And like, it's just like,
I'm out, taking a break, smoking a fag.
I remember the first time, because remember Pat always took the fifth inning off?
Yeah.
And they would bring in one of the...
the other guy,
I think it was Judd Surratt. They would bring him in to do the fifth inning with Ron.
Yeah.
And they talked about it one time, having Ron do the play-by-play.
Nope.
Did Ron and Bob get on?
Huh?
Did they get along?
Oh, yeah.
Pat and Ron, you mean?
No.
He's talking about
when you
Bob
said
Euchre.
When Bob Euchre was
him and Ron. Fine, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Because that's one, like, if Bob was a little too mean, I can see Ron getting pissed at him. Pat was always...
No.
That was always, shut up, Ron, I love you.
I think Ron loved Euchre because Euchre played the game, too.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly, yeah.
And Euchre will come right out and tell you, he said, yeah, he was a catcher in the major leagues, but he was a bad catcher in the – he was not a good player. Yeah.
0-1 on Pierre. Just trying to stay on the track, Ronnie. Sometimes it gets a little wobbly. Here's the 0-1 pitch on the way.
Hey, everybody. Ron Santo here in Houston, Texas, for the first game of a three-game series against the Astros. And my guest on the pregame show is the fine stopper for the Chicago.
Oh, yeah. Oh, he always did the pregame interviews with the players down in the
Hearing Harry Carey try to pronounce those names
The best thing about him is, remember, I think his name was Carlos. It was Carlos Alfonseca.
Yeah. And Antonio Alfonseca.
Antonio, yeah, there we go.
Yeah.
And
Alfonska.
No. He called him Al Fonseca. He thought Al was his first name.
We did play those two. That was, yeah.
Go Cubs. Yeah, Al Fonseca. And Al, how did you feel about the move at the beginning? I never had an opportunity to talk to you, but were you happy about getting traded to the
show? Matter of fact, the book upstairs that I've got on Ron Santo is like full. Pat Hughes wrote it after Ronnie died.
Yeah.
It's just all kinds of stories about him and Ron Santo and all that kind of stuff. And this is one of the ones that he talks about.
Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, you know, I like it being Chicago Cubs right now. You know, I have my house in Miami for, I don't care. I like it in Chicago more better right now. A lot of people go watch the game.
I can just imagine his him face. Down there and just,
Yeah.
He's nodding at the table. Yeah.
But I like it more in Chicago.
Have you ever had any arm problems?
No. Only my back, but right now I feel great.
Well, it's great to have you aboard, big boy, and continue success.
Thank you, sir.
Al Fonseca, we'll be right back with more baseball on the Cubs Radio Network.
Well, yeah, you can't give him crap for the big boy because he called everybody big boy.
Yeah.
You know, that was just his thing. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see if I can find the one on the hairpiece.
I think he played this one, too.
Did I?
We played a lot of them, but it's still, we're talking still about fun. Baseball all night. It's... That's the thing that pisses me off about baseball. There's other reasons to love it than just the sport.
Yeah.
I don't like watching the sport.
Yeah.
I concede to people that do. Like, that's your thing. Go for it. I'm not saying ban it off of TV. I'm not.
Inside, bottom of the 11th. Cubs at first and second, but the only man that counts is DeRosa, leading at second base. And the 2-0 from Wilson. Johnson, it's a ground ball, right side, base hit, right field. DeRosa heading home. The throw by Burris to the plate. The fly, he scores. Cubs win.
That's when Ronnie's
Johnson
fan.
With a ground ball single into right field.
He loved the Cubs.
Oh, Mark DeRosa sliding in feet first, just ahead of the tag of Molina. Cubs win 8-7. What a finish!
That's when Ronnie's fandom took over. comes in.
Yeah, oh. Go Cubs! Yeah,
I think it was in '98 when they actually made it to the through the wild card that year when they were playing the Brewers and like the one guy drops the ball, fucking Ron Santo loses his shit, just like completely just rips the guy a new asshole.
Of course, Ronnie wasn't. You know, about the bad plays, too.
Yeah.
They're singing, go, Cubs, go. Go, Cubs, go. Hey, Chicago, what do you say?
Oh, no! He drops the ball. No!
Yeah. That,
oh, no.
That's the play right there, yeah.
Oh, no.
It's just fucking freaks.
I'm trying to find a longer one here. But, yeah.
While we're looking for the video, I don't like angry sports fans.
No, I don't either.
All right, so what's your guys' favorite football team?
Oh, they actually put Ron Santo in the Simpsons for a second.
I know yours is Broncos.
Yeah, I'm the Denver Broncos.
Oh, me and the Bears.
All right, so let's say what's your least favorite NFL team, period?
Packers.
Second.
Packers.
There's got. Hey, come on.
Yeah, come on with another one.
Just a franchise. Let's say it's Patriots. They're cheaters or well, that's what I'm saying. Somebody
else. Packers. Okay, second worst favorite, Vikings.
All right, so in a dream situation where the Bears, it's literally impossible that they could be in the Super Bowl, but it is possible that it's Packers versus Vikings, who would you root for?
Well, that actually couldn't happen.
Gun to your head, had to root for one.
That couldn't. The only way that
I NFC, said, NFC that, title game.
It's NFC title game. Packers Vikings.
Couldn't even happen in the NFC title game.
Yeah, it can.
It can actually with a wild card draw.
Well, no, because they would play each other in the first week.
That's true. Yeah.
Like I said,
because one of them would have had to have won the division for the other one to get the wild card.
All right, so let's say it's the Packers versus Jacksonville. So it's an NFC team versus not even Jacksonville. I need an AFC team.
The Jets.
Somebody we all hate.
The Bengals.
There we go. It's Packers versus Bengals. Because they're an underdog. You'd root for the Bengals. Even I would.
If it's
the Patriots. Patriots.
If it's either the Packers or the Vikings, I'm automatically rooting for the team that's playing them.
But they're playing each other in my dream situation.
If they're playing each other, I'm hoping they go into quadruple sudden death and a lightning strike takes both of them out.
That's like some of the setups that I have for like when like the Cardinals are playing like the fucking Yankees. Can like the stadium slide off into the like
yeah.
like
See, my situation is like, okay, so the Bears had like a 4-blank season. Four wins and the rest is just shit.
I don't care.
And the Packers or the Vikings are in versus blank team. I would root for the NFC team because I want the Super Bowl to be in this area of the country.
I actually hate
you do?
The Packers that much. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
If it's the Packers or the Vikings, I am automatically rooting for the other team.
I don't want to say it's irrational, but it is a very well-grounded hate you guys have.
Yeah. Now, for the two games in the division,
Bears, Packers, Vikings, and Lions.
Yeah.
Okay, so it's the Lions eliminated the Bears in the playoffs versus another team.
It would depend upon how the rest of it goes out.
Okay, so it's just an irrational hate for the Packers.
Exactly.
I totally agree with that. Yeah, it is. Mine is a totally irrational hate for the fucking Packers. I don't understand it
because every time a Packers ticket sells, and a Bears ticket sells, they split the profits.
Now, hold on. I will say that one of the greatest places to tailgate in the country is Lambeau Field.
Yep. Best sausages you've ever had in your life. Sorry, Soldier Field.
Now
you got hot chocolate to me.
I would love to go up to Lambeau for a Bears Packers game.
That is the best hot chocolate I've ever had in my life. Soldier fucking Field when it's 10 degrees.
See, now the difference is, I guess the difference between the Packers and the Patriots is that, yes, I hate the Packers with a passion. I hate if the Packers could just all of a sudden die, I wouldn't be depressed. Now, I don't hate Packers fans.
Mine's actually the reverse. I don't mind
you hate the Packers fans.
Yes.
Really?
They're awful fucking human beings.
No. I hate the Packers. I don't mind Packers fans. I despise Patriots fans.
Those fans
need to die.
I don't mean to say it this way, but I guess I'm just more of a sportsman than you guys, because when a team just beats you, I sit back and go, they fucking won.
You'll never hear
they fucking won.
Yeah, if they fucking won, that's fine.
Were they the better team? Yep, they kicked our fucking asses.
You will never hear
that doesn't,
me
that
say
doesn't, that. I can respect a team and hate them at the same time.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
I guess that's a good point. I can't hate them for skill.
Yeah.
It's just like when we were fighting a war. I can respect certain elements of the other side for the way they fight or the way they do something
like that.
I still hate them motherfuckers, and I'm going to kill them every chance I get.
Right, yeah.
But I can respect the way they fight a battle, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. My stance came from on the Packers was, first off, the Broncos beat the shit out of them in the 98 Super Bowl.
Is there still a mercy rule in the NFL?
No. Nope. They just, like, it's
so a Packers win 100 blank points to the Bears
it's
zero.
It's a gentleman's agreement.
Yeah, if you're up by 40, you kind of let off.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's no we're gonna
or
stop
the other
the
team forfeits one of the two.
No, then no.
They're actually not allowed to forfeit anymore. They'll get fined like crazy and lose draft.
Man, I think of the money. Man, my franchise is about to lose a lot of shit if we lose by 100 points plus.
That's why it's a gentleman's agreement because
I don't think there's ever been a football game where they've lost by 100. I think the worst is like 50. Something
like seven.
I think the weird part for me was,
matter of fact, remember when the Bears stomped the shit out of the Patriots in 85?
Yeah,
wasn't it like 51-7 or something
stupid
like that in the Super Bowl?
Something really bad.
I sat back when I think it was 10 years old. This was 1996, and my dad told me the great secret of the NFL trade agreements. Every time a ticket is or a piece of merchandise for the Packers is sold, the profit, 10% goes to the Bears.
Right, which is
and
why
I went,
I
so
don't
you're
like
saying
the
that
team.
The Packers' horrible obsession with Packer gear is helping to fund the Bears.
So, yeah, that's
and
why
vice
I
versa.
Don't mind the team.
And I sat back and went, that's so perverse and twisted, but then I actually have to say that the Packers fans' passion for their team accidentally helps the Bears.
Right. My thing is totally agree with that. My hatred for the Packers fans is a fucking...
They win more than you.
No, that's not true. It has nothing
to
do...
Yes, it is true.
Well, first, it is true. It is true. But it is the obsession that when fucking Brett Favre was playing in the goddamn...
That's I say that's the Bears' fault. We've never recruited a franchise quarterback.
That's true. That's a very true statement.
Or not never. Recently, we haven't recruited a franchise quarterback like they have.
Jack Brickhouse.
Oh, shit.
Harry Caray and Ron Santo.
What the fuck is
are together in this clip.
Oh, my God.
But you guys... All right, sorry. Before we play that...
Oh, go ahead.
My point was the angry sports fans... That when their team is losing, they yell at their team.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty bad.
The coach's decisions, the...
Oh, no, I don't do that. I was like,
the player decisions, the play calls, the shotgun, everything. They start just yelling at their team. I'm like, no, support them through that.
Yeah.
Even if it was a shitty call at the time, next season they could go 18-0 and win everything. What are you going to say then? They made the same decisions the next season and they won.
That's not how sports works.
There's actually one specific time frame, and I was over at your house when this fucking happened, when I was watching the Baltimore Ravens and the Broncos in the fucking it was the division round in the playoffs, right? When they fucking lost to the Ravens, I was pissed about that. I was fucking heated. And it was the final call, like the final play of this game, when like Joe Flacco, who's the quarterback for the Ravens, flings it out into like a 50-yard pass, and you see one of the fucking defensive ends for the Broncos is right there. And I was like, no, you fucking foul his ass. You like you fucking walk up and you just straight out jack a motherfucker in the face. And you take the personal foul at the 15 yards to stop
that fucking play.
Yeah.
That's a player experience though, not a I will say that we are they's, not we's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hate we's in
sports. Yeah, I can understand that, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
The same thing that I got on Emily for.
Mm-hmm.
When the fucking Sooners are winning, and it's, oh, we stomped you guys. Well, I'm not that team. I'm just a fan of that team. And you're just a fan of yours. We can talk about the dynamics of the game, but you didn't play that game.
Right,
and I didn't play that. You did not beat me.
Right.
All right.
If I was coaching that game, I may have made some different calls. It might have made my team win, and vice versa for you.
The 10 most one-sided Super Bowls in NFL history.
I thought we were going to play that Jack Brickhouse.
We will in a second. Number 10, Super Bowl 33. Broncos 34, mm-hmm. Falcons 19.
This fucking whopped them.
Me and my brother won the first Jehovah's Witness bet off of that.
Nice.
six orders of cheese sticks at Rudy's. He wanted tacos. I said, no, the cheese sticks are more expensive. Go with the cheese sticks.
John Elway was a man on a mission in Super Bowl 33 as he threw for 336 yards.
That was Vic's rookie year, I believe.
And scored two touchdowns on his way to leading the Denver Broncos to a 34-19 victory over the
Atlanta
Falcons.
That was the 98 Super Bowl, I believe.
Let's put it this way. It was
99.
It was John Elway versus Chris Chandler.
Oh, yeah.
Could it be any more lopsided? I don't think so.
Chris Chandler?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Vic.
No,
33, not 43.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yep, yeah, sorry. Wait, no. What year?
I don't know.
That was Vic's rookie year.
Well, this year is 50, so take off 17 years, so it would have been...
90. That was 90. Yeah, they won two in a row. Okay, yep.
Yeah.
Number 9, Super Bowl 18.
You were right. I was wrong. There, it's on recording. I can't admit it.
So it was 97, 98.
It was 97 to 98.
Yeah. Yeah, it was 97 to 90 because the Broncos won.
No, it was 98 to 99.
No, it was 97 to 98 because the Packers won the Super Bowl the year before, 96. Then the Packers go back to the Super Bowl and the fucking Broncos wallop the shit.
I must have skipped a year. I thought it was San Francisco.
Yeah. That
number
was in 94.
Number 9, Super Bowl 18. Los Angeles Raiders, 38. Washington Redskins, 9.
Oh, really trying for the conversion there, weren't we?
Joe thought...
You hear 9 and you go, guys.
No,
is this the game that Theismann broke his leg?
They didn't have the conversion back then.
Mm.
This was probably 3 field goals.
Yeah.
Joe Theismann and the
Super
Washington Redskins.
Yeah.
18, yeah.
18.
So this would have been 83. 83-84.
Yeah.
Joe Theismann and the Washington Redskins shouldn't have even bothered to show up for Super Bowl 18 as the Los Angeles Raiders simply dominated.
I think that 2-point conversion ruined the game.
Theismann completed only 16 of his 35 passes.
This is not the game that Theismann fucked up his leg.
While throwing 2 interceptions. I don't think it was in a playoff game where he broke his leg. Because that was LT that took him out, wasn't it?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah. I think that was just a regular season game.
Okay.
With one of those being returned for a touchdown by Jack Squark.
Jesus.
For the Raiders, Marcus Allen just ran the ball down Washington's throat for a total of 191 yards and 2 scores.
Fuck.
Ridiculous.
192 rushing yards?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I don't know if it was rushing yards or total yards, but still.
Well, yeah.
Either way, it's ridiculous.
It's got to be some kind of record.
Super Bowl 37. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 48. Oakland Raiders 21.
Oh, yeah. This game with Rich Gannon.
If defensive back Dexter Jackson won the Super Bowl MVP, then you know things got real ugly.
Yeah.
In Super Bowl 37, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers put a real clump on Rich Gannon and the Oakland Raiders offense as they forced 5 total interceptions, with 3 of those being returned for a touchdown.
You know the best part about that Super Bowl? The Buccaneers were never heard from again.
After
they
that,
just sailed off into the sunset.
And they fucking died.
I guess you could say that Gannon threw 5 touchdowns in this game, but 3 of them went to the other team.
There's a conspiracy theory on that, by the way.
Really?
2002 was the year of their stadium completion where they had the pirate ship built that fired the footballs and t-shirts into the stands. So there was a conspiracy theory that was the first fixed Super Bowl. I'm not saying that all of them have been after that, but it's the first time that they've fixed, like, to give Tampa attention because their franchise sucked before that.
And
they sucked after that. Yeah. Which is why their first time was like, maybe we shouldn't do this twice in a row.
Yeah.
Super Bowl 35. Baltimore Ravens 34.
Yep.
New York Giants 7. I think it's safe to say that the 2000 Baltimore Ravens were one of the greatest defenses to ever play the game, if not the best.
Legion of Boom is scary, but not that scary. The Ravens
defense.
He's
talking about the Steelers from the 70s, the Steel Curtain.
Yeah, I know, but still the
I'm talking about a 1-year team.
Oh, no, I know that.
That's a time machine game for me.
Yeah.
the 2000 Ravens versus the classic Steelers.
Yeah.
That's a dream
game. I'm actually talking about the 85 Bears.
Yeah, the original 46. Yeah, yeah. The original 46 isn't bad either.
The Ravens held the New York Giants to just 7 points as they forced four Kerry Collins interceptions while Dwayne Starks returned one of those picks back to the house for a 49-yard score. The Giants simply were no match for Ray Lewis and the Ravens' suffocating defense.
Oh, yeah, back when Ray Lewis hadn't stabbed someone to death.
Super Bowl 29.
And they retired five players the next year because fuck the franchise.
Yeah.
Not even a Ravens fan. I'm like, that was dumb. That was just dumb.
Super Bowl 29. San Francisco 49ers 49.
Oh, yeah.
San Diego Chargers 26.
This is Joe Montana game, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Where he just annihilated
In Super Bowl 29, Steve Young completed 24 of 36 passes.
Oh, that was 94?
For 325 yards and threw a Super Bowl record 6 touchdowns. That's how ugly this one got.
Yeah.
The San Diego Chargers simply did not show up to play in this one as they forgot who Jerry Rice was and didn't seem to cover him. As he caught 10 passes for 149 yards.
I remember writing a report on this in school.
As he caught 10 passes for 149 yards and 3 touchdowns. Jerry Rice from Davenport.
No, Roger Craig is.
Roger Craig, yeah, you're right.
Craig is.
The Chargers' plan for the Super Bowl was hit Rice once, and they couldn't hit him once because they didn't train to. They were hoping to like injure him or fluster him for the rest of the game, and they couldn't touch
now,
him.
Now, I'm sure Matt will remember this one. The fifth most one-sided Super Bowl of all time. Super Bowl 22. Washington Redskins 42.
Oh, this is Elway's first game in the Super Bowl.
Denver Broncos.
Broncos, yep.
10.
Yeah. No. Yeah. Fucking. Oh, God. Yeah.
Super Bowl 22 is a game that John Elway wished never happened, as he was picked off 3 times while completing just 14 of 38 passes.
It was a bad game.
Finished with a putrid 36.8 quarterback rating.
Yeah, it was fucking awful.
The Washington Redskins ran away with this one as Doug Williams threw for 340 yards and a touchdown, and Timmy Smith accumulated an outstanding 204 yards on the ground and 2 scores.
That's
the fourth most lopsided Super Bowl in history. Chicago, Super Bowl 20.
And that first LA Super Bowl, 3 shotgun calls in a row.
Yeah. Super Bowl 20. Chicago Bears 46. New England Patriots 10.
This is 85.
Yeah. This game was well over at halftime as the Chicago Bears posted a 23-3 score over the New England Patriots. Many believe that the 85 Bears are the greatest team in NFL history, and their dominance in Super Bowl 20 over the Patriots certainly presents a strong case. The icing on the case in this one was in the third quarter when defensive lineman William the Refrigerator Perry punched in a 1-yard touchdown.
Yeah.
Give that big fucker the ball.
Yeah, who's going to stop him?
Yeah, no one.
It's just really important to remember that they weren't here to start no trouble. They were just there to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
The third most lopsided Super Bowl of all time. Now, this one, I don't know why they're calling it lopsided, but anyway, Super Bowl 21, the New York Giants 39, the Denver Broncos 20. When a quarterback finishes his day with only 3 interceptions and posting a phenomenal 150.9 quarterback rating, you know you had a bad day. Just ask John Elway. In Super Bowl 21, Phil Simms completed an unbelievable 22 of his 25 passes for a total of 3 touchdowns while nearly doubling Denver's total points as the New York Giants ran the Broncos out of the stadium.
Yeah.
Elway was not perfect.
No.
It's a good thing to remember.
No, Elway was not perfect.
He was no Montana.
He went, that's very true. That's very true. No one's Joe Montana, though.
Right. The second most
except for Tom Brady. Tom Brady's real fucking close.
The second most lopsided Super Bowl. Super Bowl 27. Dallas 52.
Oh, yeah.
Buffalo 17.
Yeah.
The Buffalo Bills didn't show up to to the Rose Bowl in Pasadena for Super Bowl 27. I'm pretty sure that Troy Aikman and the Dallas Cowboys were playing against a bunch of practice squad players.
You know what really pisses me off? Is there motherfuckers that are Cowboys fans from the 90s that still think that the Cowboys are good now? Yeah. It's like, fuck you. You guys haven't won a goddamn Super Bowl since the mid-fucking 90s. Go fuck yourselves.
Was it Bears? In 2000, was it 2004 or 2005?
Against Indy?
Yes.
Yeah, and that was 2000.
They were down the fourth, and they threw their second string in as a joke to get him a Super Bowl play.
Yeah.
And he drove for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have those moments, if you had relieved at halftime, you would be in a hold. Start trusting your second stringers. You hired them, trained them for a reason. I don't know.
Now, you know, the bad thing about this, Matt, the most lopsided Super Bowl ever once again features John Elway.
But
Super
in the winning
Bowl
side.
20, no. Super Ooh. Bowl 24.
Yep. He went three fucking times before they went back to back. Yeah.
Super Bowl 24. San Francisco 55.
When they beat this, yeah.
Denver Broncos.
John Elway. Joe Montana.
10. I said Joe Montana.
Joe Montana and the San Francisco 49ers scored an incredible 55 points,
yeah,
which is the most in Super Bowl history in Super Bowl 25 over the Denver Broncos. Montana tossed five touchdowns while Jerry Rice snagged seven balls for 148 yards and three touchdowns.
That team was fucking ridiculous.
148 yards passing.
That team was fucking bad. Stupid good.
On the other hand, John Elway was a joke.
Yeah.
As he was picked off two times and completed just 10 of 26 passes and ended the day with a putrid 19.4 quarterback.
It was really bad. He went three times, lost three. Didn't make it. They were in the playoffs a bunch and could never make it through like the AFC title game. Then in 97 they beat the fucking Packers, and then 98 they did it again. And then Terrell Davis
bashed that was
up
actually
his fucking knee
in that game. And this is how I won the cheese sticks. It was two of the best offenses to ever exist in the NFL, and I went with experience over fire with Montana versus Elway.
Yeah,
one then. Broncos versus the Falcons. It was Michael Vick, who had this legendary skill to run the ball, versus Elway, who is seasoned, calm, compassionate, still in his prime. I'm betting on Elway.
Yeah.
The Falcons were scary that season just because of their wild card factor. Nope. Nope. I'm going with the old season pro. He's been there. He's seen it. He's done it. Nope. And by the way, I hate Tom Brady if he did cheat. Because he cheated in the lamest way fucking possible.
It didn't even affect anything.
You were talking
about, Air 5 on that.
You were talking about Harry Carey trying to pronounce names.
In some cases, how to pronounce their names.
From Kazinker to Kupalonga. It begins
with this is where Harry Carey's trying to pronounce Gruntalonic.
For the first time has ever been said right or spelled right.
I gotta give props to a guy that's completely willing to get drunk on national radio. Sorry.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he get tanked.
In the most manic, depressant sort of way. Why are you getting drunk? Because that's the only thing to do. We're not going to win.
I still love the one where it's Harry Carey and Steve Stone. And it's like, there's a bouncing ball. It's like, what?
There's a ball. Ball bounce. That's why, as an unofficial Cubs fan, if anybody ever came at me like, oh, yeah, you suck, I have fun talking about it.
Yeah.
Because I'm usually drunk when we do. As a Cubs fan, you're almost always drunk.
a celebrity in the booth, Mudcat.
We have a sighting. With an ice cold Budweiser.
Our friend and colleague Rick Sutcliffe dropping by to say hello. There's Vinny Castilla leading things off.
Rick Sutcliffe is drunker than fuck during this interview.
Yeah.
Hell, he ran away now. You can go hang out with Brooks and Dunn. The Red Baron.
Is he on?
There he is. Sut. It's good to have you back, son.
Oh, my goodness, man.
How good is this?
Tanked. What's up, Redhead?
You taking some time away from your busy ESPN world to hang out down here with us little dogs?
It's not that busy, man. It's
no,
not
that busy. Hammered. He's hammered.
Sut, who you been playing golf with?
He's here. He's in the house tonight. Bill Murray.
Josh Barfield.
It's God damn it, Bill Murray.
Short center field.
Huge Cubs fan.
Ouch, man.
The shoulder, too. Look how he
Second
rolls on
City
the shoulder.
Guy. Yeah. You guys have me cracking up all the time.
So we miss you around here, man.
Let me tell you something. I'm not far away. I'm here
Let's
all the time.
Let's get this guy a microphone.
I'm here all the time.
What's the best city in the National League to play golf in? Seriously.
The best city in the world, Mud. Where is it?
San Diego.
Right here, man. You can't beat it.
You're the A's.
You can't win.
So you had some unbelievable news in spring training, and I wanted to pass it along because you've got a wonderful wife, beautiful daughter. She got accepted to Harvard Law School.
How about Harvard Medical School, man?
Medical school, you son of a bitch.
Well, he's all over the field all of a sudden, and there are two gone now.
You know what he sounds like?
Fielder's choice.
So you're going to be a doctor in the family? Harvard's
long.
Medical school. Congratulations.
Yeah.
That's
come on, man.
Medical school. Awesome.
Why does that surprise you?
What? Well, it doesn't, but it's...
I mean, doesn't he sound like John?
It doesn't surprise
man,
us.
Look at me,
doesn't
man.
Doesn't surprise us because your daughter is here.
Man, look at me, man.
But the fact that she's your daughter still surprises us.
Yeah, that's all good, man. She's on her way to Africa tomorrow. How about that? Over there on one of those missions.
How about that?
George
like
Clooney.
They've been telling these fucking trash, dude.
George Clooney.
They got to play with him. Now that they realize it, now they got to play with him.
With, he's up there with the Congress. He's trying to get everybody to go over there and solve that thing.
That misses low, a ball and a strike.
There we go.
I'm getting yelled at from Bill Murray in the back. I need to go.
Him and Murray were probably you guys fucking pounding beers back
son.
Before.
Keep
he had
wait.
To go do this.
But you're the best, man. Anybody on earth that doesn't like Mark Grant, I mean, they got Maddie.
They got
problems. What are you still doing here in San Diego?
Red Baron, you were, hey, by the way, you were
Maddie.
An answer to a trivia question earlier.
No, Maddie.
We were at Dodger
Everybody
Stadium.
Everybody on earth has been trying to steal you.
We were at Dodger Stadium.
The Dodgers, the Cubs, ESPN.
2 weeks ago.
What are you still doing here?
Mudcat, what was the question?
Who won the 1979 Rookie of the Year Award? And you were the one of three.
Yeah.
That's hilarious.
This is fucking
Hold on,
trash.
This is something called the Harry Carey Beard Diaries.
We begin tonight with the unlikely reality that more than 16 years after his death, Harry Carey is still making news. Moreover, we have fresh documented evidence explaining the great contradiction of Harry Carey's career. That he was one of the great and most beloved figures in sports media history, despite often not really being much of a nuts and bolts announcer and not often being anything of a journalist. The explanation is simple. Harry bought drinks for everybody. I don't mean this metaphorically. Harry Carey's restaurant has found some of Harry's diaries from the early 1970s. They detail what the great baseball man who was with the White Sox then did in 1971, 1972, and 1974, and what he did was buy drinks for everybody and write it all down to the penny. From the diaries, January 1st, 1972, Harry Carey spent $10.30 at a Chicago bar called The Back Room on Rush Street. Then he went to 20 East Delaware and dropped another $9.97, then $10 at a place called Sully's, and finally $8.95 at Pepe's. That's $39.22 on drinks in one night.
In the 70s.
In a time when, as the Chicago Sun-Times notes, a six-pack of the ever-popular old-style beer cost $1.29.
Holy fuck!
He got them fucking hammered.
Yeah.
Carefully filled.
Brilliant. Brilliant marketing.
Yeah.
That's like me dropping $60 at a fucking
no.
night.
No.
That's
more,
like you
like
dropping
spending $200.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Which bar, with whom, how much? There appears to be a day off on January 16th. The entry in the diary reads only Super. January 16th was the date of Super Bowl VI in New Orleans. Harry appears to have been there. Somebody else appears to have paid.
Let's do some math.
And then there follows a diary entry with an exact dollar amount for Harry Carey's bar tabs for each day from January 17th, 1972 through November 2nd, 1972. 291 consecutive days of the movable liquid feast that was the life of Harry Caray. My friend Grant DePorter, CEO of the Harry Caray Restaurants, who sent us the diary images, has drilled even deeper into some of them. In 72, 70 trips to Sully's, 52 to the Key Club, 32 to Butch McGuire's, 7 to Playboy. All told, in 1972, Harry Caray made 1,242 different stops at bars. And he was cutting back. The 1971 diary shows he made 1,362 of them. Why did he do this? Why did he record all this? For posterity, so that a day would come, this day, when the minutiae of his prolific procurement of potables would spill down upon us like dust from a medieval book?
Nope.
Hell no.
Nope.
The answer is perfect and perfectly Harry, as DePorter told the Sun-Times. Remember, you used to be able to deduct a three-martini lunch. This isn't some boast from beyond the grave. I came, I saw, I drank. This is Harry Caray's evidence for his tax deductions for entertainment, his get-out-of-jail-free card in case he was ever audited. So all those he bought drinks for, they're also in the book by name. Wilt Chamberlain, Ted Williams, Gale Sayers, Jack Dempsey, Ernie Banks, Herb Kupcinet, Dick Enberg, the owner of the White Sox, the owner of the A's, the publisher of New York Magazine, Frank Gifford, Johnny Bench, Brett Musburger, you are looking live! And Jack Benny, for crying out loud! Like Casanova's lists of lovers. Day after day, 354 out of the days in the 1972 calendar alone. Neil Steinberg, the Sun-Times columnist,
who first brought this wonderful artifact to
public attention.
Yeah, 10 days he wasn't buying
drinks. Lincoln's drafts that he wasn't drinking of the Gettysburg Address
with other people.
And the Dead Sea Scrolls. He has failed us only in one area. Steinberg did not get out a calculator and figure out the total Harry spent on drinks in 1972. But if the average per day was just half of what he spent on New Year's Day, it would have turned out to be $6,961. Remember, it's 1972. That six-pack costs $1.29. $6,961 buys you a lot of beer. 32,000.
He spent over $100,000 in today money on books in a year.
No idea how to place 1972 in the historical context of Harry Caray's tab picking up. He began broadcasting baseball in St. Louis in 1945.
Well, the thing you got to remember is that he didn't pay for the beer at the ballpark.
No, I know.
Just what he spent.
He spent $100,000 in today's money at bars.
Every year
on other people.
Yeah.
Was fired in 1969. They told him on the phone while he was at, where else, a bar. He switched to Oakland in 1970.
You know the reason he was fired?
From the cards?
Yeah.
I have no idea.
He was fucking the owner's wife.
At Hey Brian's, you can get a can of Budweiser Heavy for $1.50.
Yeah.
You could get a six-pack back in the day for
50 cents. Yeah, $1.20. Yeah.
Yeah.
The White Sox in 71, the Cubs in 82. He did his last game in September 1997, and then he collapsed on Valentine's Day 1998 while with his wife at, where else?
A bar. A
California restaurant.
Ah!
He did 53 seasons in the booth, most of them when drinking was not merely intertwined with the game, it owned the game. This famous shot of Harry behind the Cardinals' mic in 1951. Can you read that? Who do you think the Grease-a-Dick brothers were? Auto mechanics? They made beer. Their name was on the microphone. Beer and liquor were baseball. In the days of the tax-deductible hoisting of a few brews...
Guy was fucking brilliant. Snifters, I already realized that.
How much did Harry Caray spend on drinks for other people over 53 seasons? No man can say.
You literally can't.
But I can say this. He spent $3 buying me one. Like everybody else in broadcasting in the second half of the 20th century, I had the privilege of meeting Harry Caray. This was in 1988 at spring training in Palm Springs, California. Harry lived there in the winter, and before a Cubs-Angels game, he sidled up to me, and as if I hadn't seen him coming from the other side of the ballpark, he introduced himself. Turned out he was a viewer. He watched me on the local news in L.A. He then introduced me to everybody on the field, all the players, everybody, even when he had to call Ryan Sandberg Scott Sanderson, and even when he called Jim Sundberg Jim Sandbag.
And then he said, "Hey, Keith, let's get a beer before the game starts." So since I heard about this Sun-Times story about Harry's impeccable record-keeping, I've been hoping for one thing, that somewhere there is a Harry Carey drinks purchased diary for the year 1988. And I hope my name is in it. My name. Keith Olberding, no Overholzer, Overkvell.
Perspective. Perspective. Imagine me and you are casters at John O'Donnell.
I've actually had that dream.
And we're very closely tied with the Stearns.
Mm-hmm.
This is what the funny part of his, nobody can know how much anybody spent on those beers, because any bar that we went to where the Stearns were the primary supplier of beer, we could order yeah. 5 or 6 rounds on Stern.
Yeah.
Because they were the only people supporting John O'Donnell. Or not the only, but the beer supplier for John O'Donnell.
Yeah. I gotcha.
So how much did we actually spend, but how much did we drink? That was the more important question there. How much did he actually drink?
Well,
God, that liver is legendary.
All right, now back to the original where we started this with the bunting. We're only halfway through this video on bunting.
That was the fucking segue of the future.
That was the tangent of all tangents.
That was, wow. I completely fucking forgot about that. I got to take a leak. I'll be right back. Holy shit.
Yeah, that was the tangent of tangents there.
Was that like a 2-hour fucking tangent?
Just about, yeah.
This is what happens when you have 3 guys that all played sports in high school / college or whatever.
What did you play? Football?
Football.
Football. Right.
Linebacker and center.
That's because you're a pussy and couldn't read the playbook.
No, that's because they told him that was his ball.
Yeah.
This is the Cody response to when they meet a bunch of Mexicans. Matt, get him.
Yeah.
Matt, get the ball. Yeah. All right, get the ball. Got the ball.
Yeah. What's the defensive playbook? Kill the guy with the ball.
Yeah. What's your position, Matt? It doesn't matter. Get the ball. All right, got the ball. Get the ball.
Just stand out there and look stupid. They say, hike, kill the guy with the ball.
Yeah. There's a ball. I got to get the ball. That's what I told. There was a strategy to my
now,
defensive team.
But imagine this in high school. I'm 225 pounds, and they made me a fullback.
Yeah. All right, so you know my height right now.
Right.
You know my build with the fat on me right now.
Right.
Imagine no fat. So I was 260 muscle.
Right.
Linebacker.
Right, but the difference was that as a fullback, I got the running start.
Our other linebacker was 190.
Yeah.
And not muscle. We had a good system. If they get over the line, Waylon has them. If they're still behind the line, it's Johnson's job.
Right. Right.
Kill them. All right.
Right. See, and they made me a fullback for one reason. You've seen my body build.
Yeah.
Most of my weight, and even back then, most of my weight is in my legs.
Yeah.
I had a really powerful lower half.
Mm-hmm.
My job was to pretty much kill you, basically. And I was really good at that job.
3 yards out. Well, give it to Wolverton. He'll fucking hammer that bitch in.
They didn't even have to give me the ball. I was a fullback, not a running back. So every once in a while, I get the ball on like 3rd and 1, you know, get 2 yards and get the first down.
Oh, like Mark Allstott for the fucking
But most of the job, it was my job to block on a blitz or to block on a run.
Yeah.
That was really my job. You know, I mean, you know, quarterback protection on a pass and run protection on a run. You know, clear the path for the.
Yeah.
And I was really good at that job. Unfortunately, by the time I went to go get drafted by the NFL, the fullback had pretty much was an obsolete.
See, I only played half season, so I couldn't qualify for shit.
Oh, you see, yeah, no, it was my job to kill linebackers, basically.
I played a couple years, and I was like, I'm just fucking done.
I didn't have the easiest time as linebacker, but my coach said I was a 3-man center.
Yeah.
So if we were getting nailed on blitzes, that's when I got subbed in as center because I could actually hold 3 guys back for 3 plays. Right. See, the 3-man center.
Right.
That's
but
it.
See, but you see, most
Fourth
of
play.
The time,
I'm out.
Right.
I'm out.
But most of the time, at 225 as a fullback, I weigh about the same as the linebackers coming at me.
Yeah.
And most of the time I outweighed a lot of the defensive line because you didn't have 300-pound linemen in 1989, 1990.
Back in high school football?
Not in high school. No.
Yeah, not in high school.
And the only reason they made me a fullback is because I told the coach right away, I said, look, I don't want to stand in line and just grab some. I want to hurt people. It goes, well.
That's why I ended up on the defensive line.
That's why I ended up as linebacker.
Right. See, but my coach.
All three of us had the same goal.
Right.
Murder him.
Murder him, motherfucker. Right.
Hold on. They actually tried me because I didn't play football at all until I got to high school.
Yeah.
And they tried me at linebacker.
Yeah.
I didn't like not being involved half the time.
Right.
Because really, if it's a pass, what does a linebacker do? He blitzes and, you know, like that. But as a fullback, I got to hit somebody every damn play.
I came in for shop class, and Pottinger was the substitute shop class teacher that day. First day of shop class. And he just looked at me and said, you're an odd-shaped motherfucker. And I just looked at him, and he... I know, I have a huge head. And he goes, no, you're wide at the shoulders and wide at the hips. Yeah? You got an hourglass figure. Yeah, my mom, she's fucking Danish. She's got...
Yeah.
No. Come to the field later today.
Yeah.
And then they ran me, and they're like, man, you suck at 300 feet. I've never really ran before. They're like... What if we said you wouldn't have to run farther than 300 feet a game? All right.
which again.
What's your job? Get through that line. All right. You got stability at the hips and power up top. You got nothing in the middle. You take a hit, you're down. All right. Yeah. All right.
Which is also, you see, I was the same way. I couldn't run for shit.
Yeah.
See, but also.
Lung capacity. I was fucking screwed on lung capacity.
I marched drum corps.
Yeah.
So I didn't go to football camp. I showed up. Like 3 days before the first game and said, I want to play football.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, let's give you a shot. You know, in high school they could do that. You know, let's give you a shot at linebacker. No, I don't like that. Let's try fullback. I'm like, well, what does a fullback do? He goes, every once in a while we give the ball, but most of the time you stand there and kill people that are trying to kill that guy.
Okay.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it was real straightforward. There's the ball. Go get the fucking ball, Matt. Okay.
No, as soon as he taught me up and out,
yeah,
it got easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but like I said, I marched drum corps in the summer, so I showed up to school like the week before.
Yep.
You know, and plus,
you were defensive.
Yeah, D line. Right. Yeah.
Oh, I was offensive. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I'll put it this way: the first game.
Yep. Oh yeah. Yep.
The first game that I played. On our freshman team, I had exactly one full practice as a fullback.
Nice.
And I took two of their linebackers out of the game.
I never got the chance to take anybody out of the game.
Oh, yeah.
But man.
You're either really good.
No, I was just really big.
Yeah.
They tried
that. You were UT, though, weren't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. We didn't have that hard of a time with UT. Fucking maroon screwed us every year, right. As you know. But yeah.
Well, yeah, but this was before you played. This was back when UT was actually halfway decent at football.
I'm gonna say this on the radio. Rock Island has a very, very unique recruiting position in the Quad Cities.
I know exactly where you're coming with.
They can recruit a lot of speed. And a lot of soul food power.
They recruit a lot of Canadians.
All right. Well, we kind of had the same thing, and we...
I told you this story.
All right, I'm going to just say it. There's a lot of big fucking black guys in Rock Island, and there's a lot of fast fucking black guys in Rock Island. There's nothing to be ashamed about.
Yeah. Well,
hey, that was our one advantage. Do they have black guys on the team? No. All right, we win.
Well, we had the same thing at UT... In Watertown.
Yeah. Yeah, Watertown. We had a wider selection. That's
right. Yeah, yeah. But you see, I grew up in Watertown, so I hung out with all of those guys. But yeah, I mean, no, I was just big. You know, I think our first game was against Quincy or something like that, you know. And they sent up linemen, 180-pound, really quick, squirt through the line linemen, and then they hit me.
Yeah. I was the line sniper. They're, you're not getting over that line. I'll die before I let you over that line. You have to stop me.
Right.
Put three men on me.
Yeah.
And then we had Whalen, the 190-pound linebacker that threw everybody for a fucking loop.
Yep.
That was the pure speed. He's catching you.
Right. Well, the way the coach used me on the offensive line would basically be like an offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Or a linebacker.
Yeah. You're one of the extra line guys.
I was actually pretty much anybody that got through the line, I killed before he hit the quarterback. Yeah. You know,
he was the anti blitz.
Right.
That's why he said that's the guy that I have to stop or get around.
Yeah, I got to stop that guy from killing that guy.
I have 0.5 seconds to get around Frank, otherwise the play's done.
Right. And
that's how it worked out for us as a linebacker, man.
Yeah. And on a run, and if it was a run play, it was okay. Still, I got to keep those guys from killing that guy, but I got to kind of push him out of the way a little bit.
Yep. And then your job was to fill the fucking hole. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
and his job was to stop me from being able to let that guy through his line. Yeah.
I was 90% blitz. Yeah. I was the guy they put in.
Right.
And I got two plays of burst speed to get through you. And after that, no, they put Whalen in. He's got the endurance. I'm the nuke.
Right. And you see, and that's the other thing. I was basically the immovable wall.
Yeah. Sorry, wrong word. I'm the depleted uranium shell, but you only got two of me per down.
Right. Right. And I was basically the brick wall between him and the quarterback, you know. And then, you know, the same thing. I was a movable wall, I guess.
UT was running Power Eye back in the day. That really fucking sucked.
Yeah.
Hated the Power Eye on UT. They did a good job on it, too. I got to give them props.
Yeah. See, we were primarily a running team.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of them are.
Right. In high school, still, like, UT was had their Power Eye. No, they had the Power Eye
down. I still loved it in Remember
Right. Now,
Titans.
Now, the thing was, is, again, I'm not fast. My job, really, in our offensive scheme was to kill the one linebacker that was trying to kill my guy.
The one guy that got through.
Right, actually, I'm breaking through at this point. On a run play, I'm breaking.
Mm-hmm.
See, on a pass play, I'm holding
blocking.
Back. Right. On a pass play, I'm clearing the path, basically. On a pass play, I'm holding back and protecting the quarterback. On a run play, I'm clearing the road for right there.
He's pushing strong side back.
Yeah.
Right.
Because they're running on strong side.
And you
shit.
Exactly. And usually there's one linebacker I got to clear out of the way.
Yep.
To break him through to the safeties.
Because he had that 5-yard gap going.
Exactly. Yep. And that's what I was talking about, having the running start going into these guys.
Yeah. That's why I hated you. They knew that 5-yard gap really well.
Yeah.
We didn't lose to him a lot. But shit.
Right. And that's why I took out a lot of linemen or a lot of linebackers.
Nice. Because that's why Urlock's still my favorite player.
Yeah.
Urlocker, rather.
Yeah.
Sorry. The guy was a fucking beast. Yeah. I wish they could have gotten Super Bowl rings for that guy.
Yeah.
And I learned that the hard way that first year when we had to play Marion Catholic up in Chicago. Now, they are kind of like, they're like Rocky on steroids. They, not only did they get to recruit a lot of speed and soul, but they get a recruit from the whole city of Chicago and they have to recruit the best of the best.
So. Yeah. Wait, was that regionals or?
Sectionals.
Okay.
And
our sectionals went down to Peoria. They really changed the fucking leagues then.
Yeah.
10 years is a hell of a span.
No, actually, wait a minute. No, hold on.
Furthest we got out.
No, you're right.
Rockford.
Yeah, you're right. Regionals. You're right. Regionals.
Did you get past Rockford?
Fuck no.
Oh, you were into Iowa.
I was in Iowa.
You were the opposite direction.
I was in West, dude. It was a bunch of retards humping a doorknob.
So you had goddamn Tipton and shit.
Yeah. Right.
That's why I fucking hate the Iowa team.
Right. Now then, then we had to hit Marion Catholic.
Worst you'll get is something from Iowa City. Fuck you.
No. We get Assumption.
Yeah. I fucking
Assumption,
hate those pricks.
Yeah. We get Assumption.
Cheerleaders were worth it though.
But
the difference is nowadays though, Pete, any of the Davenport City schools, they're only going to win two games a year, and that's against the other Davenport City schools.
I really wish one year Rock Island just rocked the Maroons. I really, I'm not even a fan for that reason. I just really want them to.
You know, we should do that one of these days when they're having a game.
Go to a high school football game?
Yeah, actually go and call the fucking thing.
Oh, a live Skype cast or whatever?
Yeah, we'll take our fucking mics and we'll fucking live.
That's not a terrible idea.
Live shoot that shit. Because, I mean, the football field's right down the street.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not
Can we all agree that Alleman was a bunch of pricks?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck all right, those there we guys.
Go. Three different teams. Fuck Alleman.
Yeah. I always saw
Alleman was basically the Marian Catholic of the Quad Cities.
Fuck them. Fuck them. As I said, I had a bunch of my cousins go to Assumption. I hate Assumption.
No,
I
we
hate
don't
Assumption.
Recruit. Yeah, fuck
I
you.
I didn't
you don't
hate
recruit.
Assumption.
Your line.
I hated Alleman. I guess it was bred into me. Yeah. I don't know.
Your left tackle doesn't know 2+2, and you let him in your exclusive private school. Fuck you. You don't recruit.
Yeah. Yeah. They've had every year they have at least 4 college drafts out of that fucking team. Screw that fucking.
Yeah, I know they don't recruit.
Almond's in the top 3 again. Go fucking figure. They spend more money on football than anything else.
Yeah. All right. Once again, we apologize, everybody. We went long again. And so we split this one up into 2 parts. In the second part, we try to teach Pete baseball. It's kind of interesting, actually. But hang out.